The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday, January 30th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, officials said a Rancocas Valley Regional High School teacher was charged Tuesday night with having sex late last year with a male student who attends the school. 30-year-old Alexandra Rayner of East Hampton was charged with second-degree sexual assault and endangering the welfare of a child. Rayner was taken into custody Tuesday at the Burlington County Prosecutor's Office in Mount Holly and will be held in the Atlantic County Jail in Mays Landing, which houses Burlington County's female inmates. Rayner, a special education teacher, will face her first appearance in Superior Court on Wednesday. The investigation began last week after district officials approached the prosecutor's office with information they received concerning a possible inappropriate relationship between Rayner and the student. Officials said an investigation revealed that the contact happened in December of 2018 in Mount Holly and Lumberton.
Is this statistically happening more, or are we just hearing about it more?
I think we just hear about it more. The age of the victim and additional details about the incident are being withheld in an effort to protect his identity. The investigation is being conducted by the prosecutor's office and the Mount Holly Police Department. St. Joseph's University said another student has reported being the victim of an armed robbery off campus. This is the latest in a string of armed robberies reported by students near the university. In the most recent incident, a student said that she was walking alone at 58th and Windell Ave at about 4 o'clock Tuesday when she was approached by two males who asked what was in her bag. She said when she answered, her books and her she said that her books were in her backpack and that her wallet was in her bag. The men asked for her wallet and told her that they were armed. Officials said the girl gave the men the wallet and then they ran away. The first suspect was described as a black teenage male with a dark complexion, approximately 5'8 to 6 feet tall, and was wearing a gray hooded sweatshirt at the time of the incident. There is no description of the second suspect. The university said it offers students a list of safety tips on its website for students to consider. Tyson Foods recalled nearly 37,000 pounds of chicken nuggets. The U.S. Department of Agriculture says the product may contain rubber. Tyson described the material as...
Rubber's pretty safe. They use them in condoms.
Safety.
Yeah. They described the material as small pieces of soft blue plastic in the nuggets. The recalled products are the 5-pound bags of Tyson white meat panko chicken nuggets with a best if used by date of November 26, 2019.
More alarming news. They actually found chicken in them, too.
Yeah.
I wonder how much plastic got into, I mean, because you're talking 37,000 pounds of chicken that has to be recalled. What a waste.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know? Statistically, it can't be that much. Uh-uh. You and I, if we were eating the nuggets and we're into them, we'd probably go, and keep eating.
I would.
Yeah.
I'd spit out the plastic and I'd
it had
move
to
on
be
to
cooked or something.
I wouldn't. You know, I'd die and crawl into a ball somewhere.
I always chuckle at the acceptable amounts of things. There's always a list that the FDA releases of what's acceptable.
Look, man, I was eating somewhere, I don't remember where, and I found a hair in my food, and I'm just like...
Me just yesterday.
I was enjoying
it. It was hummus.
I kept eating it,
Yeah, Preston.
If I find a hair, I can't continue to eat
it. Kathy, I know. It was good hummus.
And listen, I have to convince myself sometimes, like, that is a long, dark hair. That's yours. So stop it, take it out, and continue to eat your food.
I don't have that option.
And can you, if you do realize it's your own?
I honestly, I have to force myself, but I think about it the rest of the time. I'm like, is this really good? Do I really need to eat this?
At home or, I mean, even at home? Where, like,
you're at a restaurant,
no question. I guess at home it wouldn't be that bad because obviously it's mine or Jace's, you know.
Here you go. Here's the official word. The handbook allows for up to 13 fragments of rodent excretia.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And a 24-ounce, in a 24-ounce container.
24 ounces.
The government permits three maggots in your 28-ounce can of tomatoes.
Oh, my God. What is this?
You know what? I'm down with that.
In a regular size 16-ounce jar of peanut butter, the FDA will allow up to 136 insect fragments and 4 rodent hairs.
Isn't that great?
Oh, my God. That is awesome.
So, Preston, when do you
I don't want to know.
Do you stop eating if you hit, like, a full human turd?
Sure. Okay. I might. That's when I'll pull back and say, best not.
You know what? I'm not going to throw it out, but I'm going to put it away for now.
But I don't want to know that.
No.
Like, I really don't. No. It's like that stupid book that women get when they're pregnant, What to Expect When Expecting.
You don't need it.
You don't need to know, like, most of that stuff.
Well, I was aware of this. That's why I know that on a regular basis, what we're allowed to eat is pretty voluminous.
And we're all okay.
Yeah.
We're all fine here.
All right, so the packages of chicken nuggets have a specific case code, establishment number, and timestamps on them. You can get that information on the Tyson Foods website under news releases.
You remember that old ad campaign, What's Your Breakfast Rat Story?
Actually, I do have a bizarre file story coming up late. I think I have it today, maybe tomorrow, but about eating something that went bad, and it ain't good.
Right. The packages were shipped to club distribution centers in Arizona, California, Illinois, New Jersey, and Utah, and sent to retail locations nationwide.
Nugget Club!
The problem was reported on Tuesday, and there have been no reports of any reactions to the chicken. So no one's actually gotten sick. They just realized that the plastic was in there. Tyson says consumers who have purchased any of the affected items should discard the product, cut out the UPC and date code from the back of the packaging, and mail it to their Tyson Foods consumer relations address for a full refund. Anyone with questions can also call their special toll-free line.
I just wouldn't do that.
Are you going to take the time to
Who's going to take the time to do that?
I know. Yeah. All right. In sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Sixers cruised past the Lakers last night, 121-105. They led throughout the game and were up by 24 in the second quarter. Joel Embiid scored 28 points and grabbed 11 rebounds. Jimmy Butler had 20 points and 6 assists in his first game at point guard. And Ben Simmons scored 19 while playing the power forward position. For Embiid, it was his NBA leading 34th game with at least 20 points and 10 boards.
I like that guy.
The road trip out west continues tomorrow night with a game in Oakland against the defending champs, the Golden State Warriors. The Flyers won again, shutting out the Rangers 1-0. Oscar Lindbaum scored early. Anthony Stolar stopped 38 shots for his second career shutout, and the Flyers held on for their season-high 5th straight win. Stolarz, who had been out since December 15th while recovering from a lower body injury, got his first shutout since December of 2016 at Detroit. They're on the road again tomorrow night with a game in Boston against the Bruins. Jimmy Rollins is back with the Phillies. The team announced that Rollins has rejoined the organization as a special advisor and will have duties on both baseball and business sides, including spring training coaching. That mean he's going to come on our show?
I've already put in the request.
Well, that was the big enticement. That's why he came back. He knew he had yet to talk to us.
He won't.
No, I bet you he will now. Meeting with sponsors and suite holders, fan engagement, and community outreach, Casey.
And we're community.
Rollins played parts of 17 seasons in the big leagues, including his first 15 with the Phils. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right, thank you very much. Kath, real quick, I want to read a text message that I got just a few minutes ago. It says, morning, Preston and Steve. Longtime listener and moved from PA back to Richmond, Michigan, and still listen to you every day. The weather here for today is a balmy -5, but it feels like -21.
Dear God.
No mail delivery today because of the weather, so enjoy the heat wave. That is from Tom Fistler, who's checking in. So thank you, Tom. We appreciate that.
We occasionally get texts and emails from our listeners in North Dakota and Minnesota, and I'd be interested to hear what they're going through this week. Rough, man.
Nick, they're saying that in the really dangerous range, there's approximately 100 million people that are in that.
That many.
Oh, where it is in a very brutal, cold snap.
So we can deal with our chilly weather.
Yeah, we can. Fortunately, it's not going to stick around way too long, and hopefully everybody will come out of this unscathed. We'll have to see. We have a few things going on this morning I want to bring you up to speed with. We have a secret text word. It's a Wednesday morning, so we have a chance for you to see Villanova. They play Georgetown this Sunday, by the way, at the Wells Fargo Center. So text the word secret to 39333. That is running right now, and we'll bounce word back to you later on. Let's get on with the word, and the designated caller will win those tickets with secret text word. We'll grab a random text or two, so why not give it a shot? We are wrapping up this week with Go Fund Yourself, so your opportunities are running out, but still, several chances today. 5 of them alone will start at 8 a.m. It's a chance to win $1,000 and quite possibly $10,000 to get yourself set for that. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day, see what Mike and Alex want to talk about, and we have a new movie screening. You know what? It's Thursday, this Thursday. and it is Alita Battle Angel, that movie you were talking about, Steve.
Yeah, so I read the story about this. This is something that James Cameron's been working on for years. It's based on the anime series, I guess.
Yeah.
And so Robert Rodriguez picked up the mantle on it. It's supposed to be the most amazing 3D since Avatar.
So this is the UA Riverview IMAX Theater, which they have an IMAX Theater at the Riverview?
Yes, they do.
On, I had no idea. Yeah. On Columbus Boulevard?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I will be hosting said event.
Get out of here.
Yes, I will. I mean, there's a couple of cool things that are going on in conjunction with this. Like, there's a Q&A with the cast, and but not at the theater. It's like via satellite from London, but really, really neat.
All right, and so after the credits roll, there's a six-minute behind-the-scenes exclusive followed by a cast and filmmaker Q&A out of the London premiere. Okay, so this is Thursday. This is a quick turnaround case, and I'm looking at...
A whole bunch.
Jesus, like 100 passes to get away?
Yeah, we'll probably rip some off for, like, a podcast or something.
Okay.
They just came by some huge bulk shipment of nuggets that they're going to be giving away.
Well, that's a bonus.
To people.
So this is going to be Thursday night, UA Riverview IMAX. So we'll take, I mean, we can take, like, you know, if we can handle, like, 20 callers right now, we can do that at 215-263-WMMR because we have a lot. So that is at 7 o'clock. You need to be there by 6:30. So let's get you on board for that. 215-263-WMMR is the number. So we have a lot to get to. Let's take a quick break. Come back in a second. Stupid Question Entertainment Report. All that stuff is up next. Hang with us this morning.
You heard Preston or Casey. It literally happened 30 seconds ago, and I can't remember who said it. But who cares? Because this is your chance to go to the screening. Email your name, age, and phone number to podcast@WMMR.com right now for your chance to win. Good luck, and thanks for listening, podcasters.
So, stupid question today. We got a 4-pack of tickets to the Golf and Travel Show and a dozen TaylorMade golf balls to give away. Here's a question for you. What is the longest river in Europe? 215-263-WMMR. Had no idea the answer to this one. Nick, I'll be interested to see if you know this one.
I'll see if I know it, too.
What is the longest river in Europe? 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call right now. See if you know the answer. I have a bunch of birthdays to go through today. On Wednesday, January 30th, it is Christian Bale's birthday today. Christian Bale is 45. Obviously, Casey playing the Dark Knight music. Was great in those films most recently. We all saw him in Vice.
Yes, I would have loved to have seen him play Batman as Dick Cheney.
That would have been
interesting. That would have been a cool performance.
Both interesting voices, by the way. Very deep voices that he would have to use. But he is such a chameleon when it comes to taking on roles and becoming people for his on-screen appearances.
And Preston, we were talking to Adam McKay, and he says, you know, as Christian Bale gets older, he loves to do this. He loves to do the morphing. He loves to throw his all into the role.
Yeah.
But physically, it starts to take its toll.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's only so much more you can do of that.
So he's 45 today, and you know who else's birthday is today?
Who?
Dick Cheney.
Whoa!
No way!
It's wild!
They share the same birthday. Dick is 78 years old.
Are they going out to Outback Steakhouse together?
You know what? Probably.
Is that their ritual?
Maybe they get a free Bloomin' Onion. It's their birthday.
That's right.
Do
me a favor and send this Bloomin' Onion over. Right away, Mr. Cheney. Yeah. Enjoy the performance.
Yeah.
I always thought he was kind of a sharp individual. Like, had all his wits about him. But then Sacha Baron Cohen pulled one over on him in his show on, what was it, HBO show or Showtime show?
I didn't see it. Their encounter where he'd set up politicians and go in and
he puts prosthetics on and does like an interview or whatever and he got Dick Cheney and I was just kind of like blown away. I'm like, how did you not know that this was a total gag? Do you know what I mean?
Really, he does a good job of setting people up. He's one of the best at it. But Dick Cheney, 78 years old today. Wilmer Valderrama, Fez of that 70s show. Is turning 39 years old today.
Who knew when you first saw him?
Ladies love him.
Yes. Yeah. Who figured?
Yeah. Well, and wasn't there something with him on the set? Or was that him of that show?
No, you're thinking about Danny Masterson.
Oh, okay.
Oh, right. He's accused of sexual assault.
Yeah,
and rape.
He's a Scientologist. And there's a whole thing with him. But no, Wilmer Valderrama is a heartthrob. And he's 39 years old today. And the birthday, and he's the voice of Handy Manny, right?
Yes, sir.
That's on the kid show, if you remember that.
Phenomenal acting in that show.
Charles S. Dutton, who has been here in our studio.
Yes.
Great movies like Rudy and A Time to Kill, and he was Rock, and he was in Alien 3. He's celebrating his 68th birthday today. birthday today. He was a nice guy.
Yeah, we feel a little betrayed, though, because they were talking about doing this HBO series where Queen Latifah played a DJ. Mm-hmm. And they were actually looking at our studio to do some shooting. It never happened. Nope. Not even a call.
Then you have Vanessa Redgrave, longtime actress.
Yes.
A lot of celebrated roles. She's was in Girl Interrupted, most recently Mary Queen of Scots, Deep Impact, Mission Impossible, a whole bunch of stuff. She's 82 today. And the great Gene Hackman.
Wow.
Is 89.
I was just watching The Unforgiven.
Yeah.
He is so malevolent.
He's great.
So menacing and so great.
Little Bill.
Just unbelievable.
I can't remember the movie that it was, but he played like such a gross character that every time I see him, that's what I picture. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. The one where he's the chain smoker?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah.
And it's Jennifer Love Hewitt is in it.
Yes,
and Sigourney Weaver.
And Sigourney Weaver.
Heartbreakers?
Heartbreakers. Yeah.
Oh, he's gross in that.
And like every time I see him, I that's what I think of is that movie.
He's a cigarette tycoon.
Yes, he is. I didn't know that.
So that's why he's always chain smoking.
And I'm a sucker for Crimson Tide and The Birdcage when they've got him in drag at the and then.
Have you ever seen the original French Connection?
I have, but it's been a long
so
long
damn
time.
Good.
So he's 89 years old today.
Wow.
Last birthday from the world of music, the great Phil Collins celebrates his birthday as well. Wonderful singer, great drummer.
Massive fan.
He's 68 years old today. And there was a time when there was almost oversaturation of Phil Collins. He was hitting so many hit records.
Yeah, I know. And I kind of, that's when I started to sort of disconnect. It was, even for me, a super fan and a Genesis fan. Casey, at one point in my life, what you are to Fish, I was to Genesis. Genesis will always be...
Oh, really? You've seen him in concert 40 or 50 times?
Well, I've seen him a lot, yeah. So, but I mean, that's basically all I was listening to for a while.
Well, he's a wonderful musician celebrating 68 years old today. So happy birthday to you, Mr. Phil Collins. Let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question. What is the longest river in Europe? And we are going to go to Jared and see if we can get the answer. Hey, Jared, good morning.
Gadzooks.
Jared, do you know the answer?
Is it the Danube?
No, it is not. Sorry about that, bud.
That's what I wrote.
Nope,
incorrect. I got it wrong.
I will go next to Dave. Hey, Dave, good morning.
Hi. Hello?
Yeah, Dave, you're on the air.
Oh, it's Jay. How are you?
Good. Sorry about that, Jay. Jay, do me a favor. Tell me where the longest river in Europe is.
That's the Volga River.
The Volga, yes. One moment, please.
As in Song of the Volga Boatmen?
I guess so. Yeah. I was not familiar with the river Volga.
In Russia.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. All right. Since you got that right, my man, we are going to give you a 4-pack of tickets to the golf and travel show and a dozen TaylorMade golf balls. You can come tee it up at Philadelphia Golf and Travel Show, February 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Philly Expo Center. You can get huge savings on golf equipment and accessories, and you can go to MyPhillyGolfShow.com for more information. Sad news, 1980s hitmaker, R&B singer James Ingram passed away. He was 66 years old, and he had brain cancer.
Always loved his voice.
Yeah.
And always seemed to be a class act, and it was very sad to hear that. Too young.
Longtime friend and choreographer Debbie Allen broke the news of his death via Twitter. Ingram will always be best known for his string of classic pop singles, Just Once, 100 Ways with Quincy Jones, a 1982 chart topper, Baby Come to Me with Patty Austin, and the duo's follow-up, the Oscar-nominated How Do You Keep the Music Playing, his duet with Michael McDonald on Ya Mo Be There, that one I don't know, What About Me with Kim Carnes and Kenny Rogers, and his top two duet with Linda Ronstadt on 1987 Somewhere Out There. His 1990 number one hit, I Don't Have the Heart. I remember that was the biggest one I remember.
Preston, just one struck when I was going through maybe a breakup or something, and I was like,
He's saying the truth!
I mean, you know when those songs just happen to hit when you were going through some emotional stuff?
And that
one has just burned into my mind.
He co-wrote PYT.
Yes.
Pretty Young Thing.
Did he really?
Yeah, with he and Quincy Jones wrote that from Michael Jackson's Thriller collection.
I Want You, Love You. PYT, Pretty Young Thing.
Yeah!
And he was also featured on USA for Africa. We Are the World, which was co-written by Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie.
We have two clips of his. Is not over yet?
Yeah, they're on their way over. Right. Do you remember which line was his in We Are the World?
Oh, man. There's. I remember
I like
seeing him. No, it wasn't I Like Big Balls. It was short.
Was he the, we are the ones who make a brighter day, so let's not give in.
That's pretty damn good, man.
Yeah.
Is that him?
I don't know.
You just honored his memory with that spot-on impression. Somewhere out there is another one that just was beautiful.
I think it might be, Casey. Yeah. That may be it. But it's been so long since I've listened to that song. Over the course of his career, James Ingram was nominated for 14 Grammy Awards, and he won two of them for 100 Ways in 1981 and in 84 for Yamo B.
I'm not familiar with Yamo B there, but...
The reason I know Yamo B there is that Paul Rudd has a line in 40-Year-Old Virgin where they're watching the same Michael McDonald videos over and over again. And he says to Jane Lynch, if I have to listen to Yamo be there one more time, I'm going to throw the chair through the TV or whatever.
Here, we have Somewhere Out There. Is that it?
Oh, I love that song.
Is this it?
Yeah, this is it.
And even though I know how very far apart we are, it helps to think we might be wishing on the same bright star.
And when the night wind starts to sing, lullaby. It helps to think we're sleeping underneath the same big sky.
Come on! Somewhere out there, if love can see us through, then we'll be together somewhere out there.
Man. No movie captured the plight of the Jewish mouse better.
Yeah.
No. I remember crying during that song.
Of course. It's a gorgeous song.
I probably sang that song 1,000 times when I was a kid.
It hits that crescendo, Casey.
Yes, yeah,
like, well, you know it's heading. It's like New York, New York. It's heading towards that crescendo. Yeah. And Fievel's sitting there wondering where his family is.
So, sad news, 66 years old, brain cancer. James Ingram passed away. That's sad. This is just disturbing, disheartening, and horrible. Empire star Jussie Smollett was hospitalized Tuesday in Chicago after he was targeted by two attackers who hurled racial and homophobic slurs at him and tied a rope around his neck.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, noose. So, the incident is being investigated by the Chicago Police Department as possible hate crime. Smollett was walking in the city early Tuesday when he was approached by his attackers, who earned his attention by shouting racial and homophobic slurs in his direction. The pair then beat up the actor with their hands, poured an unknown chemical substance on it, which turned out to be bleach, and wrapped the rope around his neck before fleeing the scene. So he took himself to the hospital. He's in good condition. TMZ reported that his attackers were two white men who yelled, "This is MAGA country," and they kept saying MAGA country, which is Make America Great Again, while carrying out this assault on him. The gossip site also reports that the chemical, like I said, was bleach, and he suffered a fractured rib. So they beat him up pretty good, a broken rib.
That's pretty brutal.
Yeah. But has since been released from the hospital. Rep for the star did not immediately respond to a request for comment. He's a former child star, appeared in films like The Mighty Ducks and North, though his most notable role as Jamal Lyon in the Fox drama Empire. And he's been a series regular since the show premiered in 2015. He won a slew of NAACP Image Awards for the role. He came out as gay in 2015 on Ellen DeGeneres' show. According to Ebony, Smollett received a chilling threat in the mail prior to the attack. So they think if it's the same people that they were specifically targeting him, not just a random person.
So they sent it to the, what, they sent it to the Empire set and then waited for him in Chicago?
Oh, I don't know if they sent it to the set or not. Somehow or another, they got it. But the center actually cut out letters from a magazine.
Like old-style ransom note style.
Oh, my God. Spelling out, "You will die," black, and then a gay slur, accompanied by a drawing of a stick figure being hung from a tree with a gun in its face.
So, wow. What?
Yeah.
What?
So shortly before his attack, he sent out a feel-good pic on Instagram, captioning it, "Mood after spending 7 hours on a plane for a two-hour flight, but finally landing, all good, love y'all, good night." He had tweeted out, like, or Instagram or something, like, where he was and where he was going or something like that. I guess he was going to Chicago for, I don't know if it was appearances or whatever.
That's a wild story.
So people had known where he was. Celebrities have rallied around Smollett on social media. Vivica A. Fox shared on Twitter, "I'm just now hearing news about the senseless hate attack on my Empire nephew.
So angry and hurt about this. This must stop. Spread love, no hate. Prayers up to you, nephew. And other people chimed in, like John Legend, Shonda Rhimes, Andy Cohen, Ike Barinholtz, Stanley Strong, Matt Bomer, and Zendaya, amongst others. So hopefully they can find these idiots that attacked this guy for no reason other than they didn't like who he was. So that's just terrible. Paris Jackson has added to her tattoo collection. The 22-year-old model posted shots of the four new tattoos, which she got in honor of Led Zeppelin's fourth album. And they're big. They're big tattoos. They go all the way down her arm. She got four tattoos all on her right arm. She got Jimmy Page's Zoso symbol, Robert Plant's feather symbol, John Paul Jones symbol, and John Bonham's Trinity symbol.
Holy hell.
Yeah, inked down the back of her right arm. And I didn't know she was that big of a Zeppelin fan. I have a picture for you guys. Look at these. These are...
Oh, wow.
They're huge.
They are big. Yeah.
So she must love Zeppelin. She said was planning for a few months on getting the Zoso, but then I said, F it. And she tweeted the picture. It's unclear if she is still in treatment for her mental health, but when a fan tweeted at her asking how she was doing, she wrote, never better.
Never better getting inked big time. Amazeballs.
After news broke of her treatment, Jackson posted a shot of herself and her dog writing, yes, I've taken a break from work and social media on my phone because it can be too much sometimes and everyone deserves a break, but I'm happy and healthy and feeling better than ever.
So she does a fair amount of modeling. You know, I wonder if this,
Well, they can use makeup to cover them up, so if they want to.
I mean, they created the Navi.
Yeah. Ted Bundy is front and center these days, thanks to, in part, to the Netflix Conversations with a Killer Ted Bundy tapes, a docuseries about the serial killer. Interestingly, instead of focusing on the film or his murders, many on social media have been gushing about Bundy's alleged hotness.
Yeah.
And Netflix has noticed.
Gushing?
Yeah, they're actually, they've published tweets of people who, you know there are lunatics that go try to date. It was a girl who was trying to date Charles Manson. They do this all the time.
I mean, there are pictures of him where he looks like he was a good-looking man, but he was still a damn lunatic.
But that's the thing.
That's it.
You just assume. All right, so Charles Manson, crazy, total lunatic, and looks the part. You know what I mean? So
not this guy.
So when you have somebody who is a mass murderer, a serial killer. You expect him to look a little
bit. But Manson even had his. Manson had people. He seduced a whole bunch of these hippies, and then all throughout his life in prison, there were women sending him love letters.
Well, I'll take
some bizarre fascination.
I'll take it to another level. Do you remember that Bundy, while he was on trial?
Yes.
He married a woman.
He did.
Yeah.
There was a woman, and he called her as a witness, and they said these specific words that you can say in court. While somebody is on the stand and you become legally married to him. And he was a lawyer and he knew that and he did it. There's a recording of
that. That's how they were married?
Swear to God. Yep. Yeah, he says something to her, she says it back, and then they were legally married because he did it in court.
Wait, and then there was video, and I don't know if it was real or if it was part of this documentary or whatever it was, but then him hugging somebody in court, that's her?
That had to have been it. Yep.
Wow.
That had to have been it. But anyhow, so... the streamer has, Netflix has tweeted out, we've seen a lot of talk about Ted Bundy's alleged hotness and would like to gently remind everyone that there are literally thousands of hot men on our service, almost all of whom are not convicted serial murderers. The lusting after criminal bad boys is not new. The fictional Netflix series You, starring Penn Badgley as an obsessive homicidal stalker, has also attracted attention for the wrong reasons. The late, great homicidal Dexter, starring Michael C. Hall, also had fans who tuned in solely based on his hotness. Now, Zac Efron is playing Bundy in another film that debuted at Sundance. A survivor, one of Bundy's survivors, recently told TMZ that she had no problem, as some critics do, with a heartthrob like Efron portraying one of the country's most notorious serial killers. She said, as long as they understand that what they're watching wasn't a normal person. She said, I believe that in order to show him exactly the way he was, it's not really glorifying him, but it's showing him. And when they do say positive and wonderful things about him, that's what they saw, and that's what Bundy wanted you to see.
Right.
So.
I don't know. It seems a little weird. The trailer for the movie with Zac Efron seems a little too flashy.
Yeah.
You know, for this subject matter, especially when you realize how brutal he was to his victims. But Well, hopefully it's Bundy mania now, Preston.
Well, hopefully the film will show what he did.
I used to have
show it graphically.
I had a T-shirt with a picture of Bundy right after he had been executed with his temple shaved and the whole thing on the gurney. And it was just like it was just this bizarre thing I found in a T-shirt shop. It was a very comfortable shirt, so I just put it on periodically. I remember I put it on and I forgot about it. I was actually traveling to a stand-up comedy gig. I got on a plane with that thing on, and people are looking at me, and I'm like, oh, boy, right. I'm wearing the wrong shirt for air travel.
Yeah. So when does that movie come out? I don't have a date on it.
Got to be like very soon. I mean, they're really pumping it. It just did Sundance, so I got to assume maybe a month.
I'd like to see it. I would like to see it. A New York judge dealt Harvey Weinstein a setback Tuesday, telling him that he must face a Netflix producer who has accused him of sexual assault and rape in court and cannot delay her civil suit while his criminal prosecution is pending. So this is another case. The judge, Paul Engelmeyer, denied Weinstein's attempt to dismiss Alexandra Canoza's case. In court papers, she accused him of rape, sexual abuse, intimidation, and harassment under the guise of conducting business meetings and promoting her career. She says one assault occurred in August of 2010 at the Tribeca Grand Hotel. She claims another occurred 4 months later at the Toronto Film Festival. She says Weinstein then raped her in Malaysia while they were working on Marco Polo. He denies the allegations. Furthermore, she is naming the Weinstein Company in the case and is also alleging Weinstein's actions violate sex trafficking statutes because he flew her around on the company's dime. So he's going to have to go to this, even though the criminal trial is underway. That's a civil trial.
I'm sorry. I don't like this guy.
You finally.
I'm sorry.
You've reached your opinion.
You ever with somebody who does that?
I love it.
I'm sorry. I do not like it, implying that I do.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I have no room for Harvey Weinstein. Perhaps you do.
Gwyneth Paltrow is being sued by a Utah doctor who claims the actress crashed into him while skiing in February 2016.
Knocked the goop out of him.
Terry knocked the goop right out of me. Terry Sanderson claims Paltrow was skiing out of control at Deer Valley Resort in Park City, Utah, when she hit him in the back. The suit claims she got up, turned, and skied away, leaving Sanderson stunned, lying in the snow, seriously injured.
So I saw this story. How did they explain that he knew? How did he later come to find out it was Gwyneth Paltrow?
Oh, I don't know. A rep for Paltrow tells people this lawsuit is completely without merit. Anyone who reads the facts will realize that. I had a guy run into me from behind one time. I was at Jackson Hole.
Yeah.
And the mountain was empty. And I'm snowboarding. I was totally alone.
Right, yeah.
And I had this entire run, not one single person in my field of view. So I'm taking big, long, carving motions left and right because I'm not a great snowboarder and I'm still just kind of learning. So I'm taking my time. It was like an intermediate run. And all of a sudden, bang, dude just slammed into me from behind.
So if somebody was actively trying to do it, it would be hard to do.
And I got up and I'm like, dude, I was pissed.
Yeah.
I'm like, we have the entire run. It was huge, hundreds of yards wide.
Wait a second.
Then this a-hole.
Are you Gwyneth Paltrow?
And he kind of, he kind of laughed it off. I was just livid.
Well, did you get hurt? I mean, not like broken
bones.
No.
I stunned the hell out of it. And it wasn't fun. You know, when it's.
No, and that's like an
when it's a collision as opposed to falling down.
He just,
I was pissed.
He just laughed and skied off.
Sorry, man. And took off. Yeah, just like that.
I mean, that's like an absolute no-no. Like, there are signs to say, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Not,
of course, you don't want to purposely do it, but that, you know, watch out.
Yeah.
Control yourself.
He was behind me. So what I'm thinking is he was just barreling down and I was carving back and forth. And you don't have rear view mirrors when you're snowboarding.
That's
so
terrible.
Anyhow,
I have a friend who
I commiserate with this dude who was knocked on his ass by Gwyneth.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
I have a friend who literally was the only car in a parking lot and crashed into a light post. Actually, I know two people. Matt Cord was one of them.
Oh, you're right.
That's right. But I was talking about my friend Kyle who did that. Kyle also got his hand stuck in the steering wheel because he had turned the turn signal,
and then
he was trying to do something cool, like, I'm going to stick my hand through the steering wheel to turn the turn signal
like
off.
Like a stunt driver.
As the steering wheel was coming back around, and got his hand lodged in between.
I've done that.
You've done that?
I've done that, God. You feel like the biggest a-hole, but you realize that your hand is stuck and there's nothing you can do about it except stop the car. It's such a moronic move.
So Kyle did that and hit a telephone pole in a in an empty light post.
While being the only car in the parking lot.
Sounds like Kyle's an idiot. I don't know Kyle, but...
listen, you don't speak ill of Dr. Dean.
He's a neurosurgeon.
He's a neurosurgeon. I'm just kidding.
Okay. What else I have here for you? So Kim Kardashian has made criminal justice reform part of her personal mission recently. On Monday, the reality star spent time in the California State Capitol in Sacramento.
She's surprisingly very effective.
Talking to legislators and changemakers, and her presence was noted. According to Senator Susan Rubio, she said on social media, civic engagement is a vital part of our democracy, and I want to commend Kim Kardashian for coming to the state capitol and engaging on so many important issues affecting our state.
Now, quick question. If you saw the video, it looked as if there was someone standing just off behind her, pulling something up and down behind her head.
Pulling something up and down behind her head.
Like she was a puppet or something?
Something. Okay. That's what I got.
I'll have to do further review
that's
on that.
That's what I got. I have a report from the beauty counter.
Oh, yes.
Just speaking of Kim Kardashian. It's just a little, just quick little. I'm going to try the lipstick. So I'll report back to you after I receive it and give it a try.
All right.
Would you ever go back to bangs? Because she did those
no, because
bangs.
Preston said I was an ugly person with them.
Is that what you said?
I never said that. I said I prefer.
He was like, she's so ugly. Look at her bangs.
Kathy, are you going to buy the lipstick or are you going to get a sample of it?
No, I'm going to buy it. Okay. They sell it at Ulta.
I'm going to admit this now. I'm going to admit this now. I have a forehead fetish. And yours is huge.
Listen, I wanted to cover it up for a little while. I did. That's why I did the bangs.
I think you look better without bangs. But, you know.
Yeah, me too.
So you think I'm pretty?
Kathy, I'm begging you to not buy the lipstick. I'm begging you.
Why?
I'm begging you to not contribute to their empire. Please.
I want to try it.
I don't care.
Let me have my beauty counter segment.
How much is the lipstick? I will pay you double what it costs to not buy it.
Ooh. Well, the package is $42.
I'll give you $84.
Great.
$42?
I'll take it. It's for four lipsticks.
Okay. This many?
Preston, four.
Hold up her four fingers.
I might be drunk. I'm not sure what's going on right now.
I noticed. Kim, by the way, was in Sacramento for the was also there to support the Free the Vote Act, which aims to restore voter rights to former incarcerated people. Let's see. Andy Cohen's first baby is a boy and is getting quite the welcome. After a star-studded bash in Beverly Hills, Cohen kept the party going out east, and he wrote, I had a heart boner for days. I like that. After this crew threw me an equally epic affair on the East Coast. And he said, I feel so loved, and it's all going to the baby.
It was pretty raucous party because he had all those Real Housewives cast people.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a video of Lisa Rinna up on the table.
Steve, there was one photo where it's all the housewives.
Yeah.
And, you know, they all look like Real Housewives would expect them to look. And then at the very top of the photo, John Mayer.
He's his best friend.
I know.
So Andy, so Anderson Cooper and John Mayer are his best friends.
But let me ask you, what did you think after you saw that John Mayer was in that photo? Because I had a thought that
he was nailing everyone.
Mayer started plowing.
If you notice, Nick, he had condoms on each of his fingers.
Right? Yeah.
We're looking at a picture of Kelly Ripa and Sarah Jessica Parker. They were there as well?
That I didn't know. The party I saw was the I believe the West Coast one, which had all the Real Housewives. And so Lisa Rinna gets up and does a table dance press.
She looks like she's bombed.
She looks like she's bombed, but I think she's commando, if you see, because her ass is completely visible.
And she's like kind of like it looks like she could fall over at any moment. And she posted the video. So
she's very happy of her dance.
Yeah. So there's a picture of Sarah Jessica Parker and Kelly Ripa, too. Did you guys see the Stella Artois ad that's going to run the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
It's great.
It's really well done.
About, here we go, Press.
It's okay.
I have not seen. Oh, my God. Wow. I have not seen the Stella
great video.
And it's on her. It's on Lisa Rinna's Instagram account. She posted it.
That's a great video, dude. Especially when she bends over and her ass cheeks, it goes like whammo.
Yeah.
And there's like
she's got a fine hiney.
It's an extended video. It goes on. She has. Okay. There's more.
We need a sound.
We'll watch it later. speaking of the Stella Artois
commercial.
Yeah, what
so
is it?
Sarah Jessica Parker plays Carrie from Sex and the City.
Okay.
She walks into a bar, and they're all ready to serve her a Cosmo, because obviously that's a drink. She's like, no, I think I'll have a Stella Artois. And everybody's like, oh, my God, it breaks into chaos.
The hell?
And then Jeff Bridges walks in as the dude.
Oh, okay.
He goes up to the bar, and they say, White Russian? He's like, no, I'll have a Stella Artis, or whatever. He mispronounces
okay.
it.
Okay.
And it's cute because those people were known for those drinks and
yeah.
they're changing. And it's a great concept for a commercial. So that was the tease about the dude from last
That's
week.
That's what that was.
So all that right. will now you can see the Super Bowl commercials before they're in the Super Bowl.
Which why Which would people want to watch the Super Bowl then?
Yeah. All right. And then let me get to I think I got time for just well, two more stories real quick. Robert De Niro tried to keep his appearance at court for his divorce and custody battle with his estranged wife of 20 years, Grace Hightower, under wraps. But alas, paparazzi was awaiting.
Made a huge mistake. He dressed as Harvey Weinstein.
The pair reportedly sat opposite each other as the lawyer spoke with the judge and their client. In private, De Niro read a paper while Hightower skimmed a book. The pair share a 7-year-old daughter. While the judge said that they made some progress at the hearing, they still have to resolve some details. Their next court date is February 7th.
So De Niro's eyesight must be going because look how close he has to get to the paper to read it.
No, he's covering his face.
Oh, all right.
And then finally, as American Beauty, the movie, approaches its 20th anniversary, American Beauty star Thora Birch is asking audiences to separate fellow star Kevin Spacey's alleged misdeeds from the film. She told The Hollywood Reporter, you can't help but feel great. Now we have this stain on the film. But no, it shouldn't be on the film. Who's to blame? It's Kevin. It doesn't have anything to do with American Beauty. The Sam Mendes-helmed film earned 5 Oscars, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Original Screenplay.
It's a great
Best
movie.
Actor for Kevin Spacey. Yeah, it's a great movie.
And Thora Birch, where has she been?
Exactly. She was great in it, and
yeah.
she kind of fizzled out after that. I think she went She's back to school after that.
Really attractive, really talented.
And she worked on her collegiate career, but I don't know what happened.
College?
Yeah.
College? Yeah,
so she took a break, but she's working again. So she's right. got a whole bunch of stuff in the hopper.
Okay. All right, we're ready for some okay. clips here, folks. The Hopper.
Give me a curveball every now and then.
So, Joe Mantegna.
Yeah, baby day out.
Greatest quarterback of all time.
Has been part of Criminal Minds so long that his hair is completely a different color now than the first episode. In this clip, Joe talks about the unexpected success of any series.
Well, it's like being in a band. I mean, I think maybe it was Rolling Stones when they first came out with their first song. They thought, oh, well, this is good. Let's see if we'll play for a year or so. So you just don't know. You put it out there. You think you're doing a good product, but you can't predict it. Because if you could, everybody would be doing it.
Spugazza Zagatin.
Criminal Minds airs tonight, 10 o'clock on CBS. Here's the next clip. Tonight's episode of Drop the Mic begins together. I'm sorry, brings together 3 lost castaways, Daniel Day-Kim, Josh Holloway, and Harold Pirineau.
Whoa!
Yeah, for a not-so-friendly rap battle reunion. Here, Drop the Mic host Method Man shares his unexpected secrets for writing rhymes.
I take my time, but one thing that, I hate giving away my process. One thing that keeps me sharp, I do crossword puzzles, mind games, you know, got to keep the brain, it's just like training the body. Another thing that worked for me, which made me think even harder, was stop cursing. It's been about 5 years since I even cursed in a rhyme, and no one noticed.
Fuzza Kabul.
Oh, that's interesting.
Have you ever seen this show?
No.
You'd want to watch The Masked Singer after watching this show.
Okay, yeah. the idea behind it looks really stupid to me.
Because it's clearly all the stuff is pre-written. It's not. They're not in the moment.
Yeah.
They're not freestyle rapping. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, there's all this posing. Whoa! It's just, it's
very forced.
It makes you long for The Masked Singer. Yeah.
I love The Masked Singer, which is on tonight.
I'm saying I'm complimenting it right now by comparing it to a horrible show.
Here's what I think. I think Gladys Knight gets unmasked tonight because she's singing the national anthem at the Super Bowl.
So you think it's all orchestrated? There's no actual contest or anything to it. It's all fixed,
well,
and
Terry,
we're being taken for a big scam.
Terry Bradshaw was unmasked just before the NFC and AFC championship games. Margaret Cho was unmasked last week when nothing was going on.
Yeah.
And I called Margaret Cho, by the way.
What'd she say?
Yeah, what'd she say?
Who is this? Yeah. Margaret, it's Casey. Hello? Are you the poodle?
What? What?
Who are you? How'd you get this number?
Are you calling me?
No, when I saw her perform the first week, I go, oh, that's
telegrammed
her.
I did.
We're done?
We're done. Okay. I'm done.
Okay.
Everyone's done.
All right, so you can catch a new...
We're not even talking about the mask thing. We're talking about Drop the Mic.
Yeah, come on, please. Yes.
You can catch the new
episode. A message for crying out loud.
Of Drop the Mic tonight.
Throw that in your hopper.
That's at 10 o'clock on TNT, by the way. All right, and there you go. That's what I have in the Entertainment Report. Let's take a break. Not before we give away some movie passes. We got a kind of a last-second screening. It's tomorrow night at the IMAX Theater, UA Riverview IMAX, and it is this movie, Alita Battle Angel, which is a wild-looking movie because it incorporates CGI and real life and kind of like, you know,
Avatar. Yeah, yeah.
And it's a really visually stunning-looking film. So we can set you up with this. You need to be there by 6:30 because the movie is at 7 o'clock, UA Riverview, IMAX Theater. We'll take a dozen callers right now.
If you liked Monster Truck.
215-263-WMMR. It's going to hit theaters on February 14th, by the way. So let's get you to the screen. There's a special Q&A afterwards and everything. Casey's going to be hosting it. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Choose to love in any language with a Valentine's Day spa package from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations and give the gift of relaxation this Valentine's Day.
Steven Singer is re-releasing exclusive 24-karat gold dip rose colors just for you. If you missed out on a color, here's your chance to add it to her collection. Check out all the available colors at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thanks, Kath. We're going to go live on Fox Good Day in a little bit. We have a GoFund Yourself taking place, another $1,000 and more. Secret text word. I'll get you the details in a little bit. So we don't have a whole lot of time. I want to dive right into this. But Kathy and I were talking off air earlier this morning about this story that came out yesterday. A team of Israeli scientists believe that a cure for cancer is within reach, even optimistically predicting that it will be found within a year. Now, every now and then you hear some stories of breakthroughs and so on, but that's a bold-ass statement, man.
You know, Dr. Mike, if you're listening, I want to get the... Because I saw this reported from a number of different sources. Mm-hmm. And this one... And you're right. We hear this periodically. Mm-hmm. This one had a little bit more oomph to it.
So I'll read you what these doctors said. So Dan Redor of Accelerated Evolution Biotechnologies Limited told the Jerusalem Post, he said, "We believe that we will offer, in a year's time, a complete cure for cancer."
Wow.
Those are strong words. His team is working on what's called Mutato, which according to the news outlet is comparable to a cancer antibiotic with a multi-pronged approach similar to treatment given to HIV patients. Their treatment, is multi-target approach using a combination of several peptides for each cancer cell, reportedly eliminating the chance to be evaded by a mutation. So the way that this other doctor, Ian Morad, said, "We made sure that the treatment will not be affected by mutations. Cancer cells can mutate in such a way that targeted receptors are dropped by the cancer. The probability of having multiple mutations that would modify all targeted receptors simultaneously decreases dramatically within the number of targets used. And instead of attacking receptors one at a time, we attack the receptors three at a time. Not even cancer can mutate three receptors at the same time." So whatever all that means,
well,
they say it's a bold approach at it.
The couple of different things that they're doing and the couple of the innovations that have proven very fruitful in the past couple of years have been turning on your own body's ability to recognize cancer as an invading entity in your body and let your own natural defenses help to eradicate it. I'm not exactly sure what this means, but again, the zeal and the gusto with which different sources reported this just made it seem a little different than ones we've heard in the past.
Now, they haven't tested it in humans yet, but it has shown success in mice trials and is nearing the stage of a clinical trial.
Honestly, for Fievel, this is wonderful news.
Yeah.
We were just talking about the song earlier. Mm-hmm.
So the National Cancer Institute estimated that more than 1.7 million people would be diagnosed with cancer in 2018, and more than 600,000 would die from the disease that year. So think about it. If this is actually happening, like, what a life changer it would be.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? A lifesaver. Yeah.
So was that worldwide or in the United States? Like, I didn't...
It is...
Sounds like...
I think worldwide.
Yeah. I mean, it's still a lot. My immediate thought and reaction when I saw this was, okay, well, this is how the world's going to end. I am legend. All right, this is
What's great about that movie is the beginning. It starts with a cure for cancer, 100% cure, and then
Mm-hmm. Everybody turns into zombies.
Asterix may cause side effects.
But if this were the case, and they were to find a cure for all cancer,
wow,
how many people start smoking again?
Is that what you, is that where you went to in your mind?
I have heard from so many people that were former smokers that said if they... If smoking didn't cause cancer, they would totally continue to smoke.
There you go. Yep.
But COPD's okay.
That's fine. That is
you
totally
can deal
fine.
With that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, emphysema, it's just uncomfortable.
Emphysema,
so you wheeze a little bit.
Yeah. Right.
My aunt is in her 60s, and she smoked when she was in her 20s. She mm-hmm. stopped then because they found a spot on her lung. She never Jesus had a cigarette Christ. Ever again. And she says to this day, if there was no problems with smoking, she would start back up right away, mm-hmm. immediately.
Yeah. And by the way, stop it with this. This is the immediate reaction of people. That'll never happen because... here you go. Do you think they'll actually let it truly happen, though? They make so much money off of treatment.
Oh, come on.
There are people that wholeheartedly believe that there already exists a cure for cancer, but they're not releasing it because they make too much money on the treatment. Do you know mm-hmm. how much money they would make on a cure?
Yep.
Are you kidding me?
I don't. Listen, are there nefarious elements at work here? But yes, there's money to be made here as well.
And so there's a greater good as well, which, believe it or not, a lot of people do believe in.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
That polio cure really stuck around. So you know,
right.
I think people would welcome a cure to cancer.
Listen, why not at least entertain the notion that it... I've seen nothing... There are a lot of people who say that, listen, you have to give it a lot more time before you start jumping in. And,
right.
and I'm approaching this with some caution. It seems exciting, though.
Yeah.
And I have to say, by the nature of how it rolled out,
yeah.
I'm not skeptical. Listen, I had cancer.
Yeah.
So, I this would be a wonderful thing. But it seems a little bit more promising. And what's wrong with... at least saying, hey, good luck. Keep going. Let's see if you can do it.
By the way, there's no cure for polio. It's just a vaccine. I got yelled at for saying that a couple of weeks ago.
All right. I retract my
stupid bastard. But anyway, clinical trials take a long time. Did you have something else?
I have more. No. I want to hear
clinical trials can take a decade. You know, it can take a long time.
But
so
they just signed a while ago legislation that would allow if someone... wants to put themselves up for trial to
experimental treatment
to mm-hmm. do it, they can do it. If they want to seek this,
but
they can do it. Maybe that'll help accelerate stuff like this.
But can you imagine if something like this turns out to be the case and they actually come up with a cure for all forms of cancer?
Yeah, cigarette sales will go through the roof.
Yeah.
Well, but can you imagine the mad rush to get this out to people who are on death's door?
Yeah.
And, of course, you can't get it to
everybody.
No,
you can't.
Because production has to happen for... tons and tons and tons of people, but imagine what a world that would be. And it would take time. Listen, it's happened before. There have been, they've cured things that have plagued mankind, quite literally plagued mankind for a long time. And then all of a sudden it's eradicated. It's not, unheard of.
When I had prostate cancer in 2014, and Dr. Mike said it, and my surgeon, Dr. Lee said it. Listen, it's possible that in 2 years they're going to have a pill that you can take and you won't get prostate cancer. There's innovations being made all the time. But right now, the gold standard was what I had done, which was the mm-hmm. robotic prostatectomy, the removal of it.
Yeah.
It's something to consider, and they're making innovations all the time, but... this stuff needs to go through a vetting process.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it's sad. So you deal. We are actually living in kind of the best of times for this stuff. So
yeah.
There are many things that can be cured.
How much are you willing to pay for if you have it and they say, okay, you got to take these 15 pills, but each pill is $150,000?
You probably can't afford that.
You probably can't afford that. Right?
Well, and I do have to say, in the article I read, at least, they're saying doctors are very skeptical of this.
Of course they are. Yeah, it's got a ways to go, but they went on to say that Mutato, which I guess is how you pronounce it, also targets the cancer stem cells, eliminating the chance for recurrence. But they did say our cancer cure will be effective from day one, will last a duration of a few weeks, and will have no or minimal side effects at a much lower cost than most other treatments on the market. Let's hope that it's true. Will it be? I don't know. Let me go to a it just says professor.
Yeah, and Marianne as well.
Professor Ben, I call in every now and then.
Okay.
Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm good. Let me give you some background. First off, I've been in industry and in academia for 25 years doing research. I write books, have patents. I got all sorts of stuff in background.
Okay.
This is BS, okay?
All right.
cancer is not one disease. It's a whole range of different diseases. And each one has its own different sets of causes, different sets of enzymes, different sets of GPCRs that are activated or inactivated that lead to cancer. Even within the family of breast cancer by itself, there are, you know, several different types, each of which requires different types of treatments. This is a company, and I've seen this many times in the industry having done this, that is touting their own wares, trying to get attention, to get investors, to get people excited about something.
Mm-hmm. You've seen things
like
this happen where they will float a story like this in efforts of getting funding.
Many times.
Have any of them, to the best of your knowledge that you've seen throughout the years, ever pan out into something that was viable?
Well, they pan out into something that's viable to treat a type of cancer or maybe a subset. So when the first treatments for BRCA breast cancer came out, that's a particular gene associated with a particular type of cancer. You know, a lot of people said, oh, that'll never work. Well, you know, the drugs that came out in that class totally revolutionized breast cancer. Are they good for pancreatic cancer or prostate cancer? No, because breast cancer, you know, that particular gene isn't causative in prostate cancer or pancreatic cancer or liver cancer.
All right, so at least there's the possibility that this could treat, you know, a type of cancer, and then through that you learn other stuff. But you're saying what you're finding hard to believe is that it's one that's adaptable or that it can handle every type of cancer. Okay.
Right. Well, think of it this way. So we talked about polio a little while ago. Polio is one disease caused by an infection. Cancer is not that. Pancreatic cancer is very different from prostate cancer, and which is very different from lung cancer. And you go down the list, and then within each type of cancer, there's various different types that are caused by different things.
What have you seen that is the most promising? Is there anything on the horizon or anything in any trial that looks like it can get? Is there some core element to cancer that would cross all different types of cancer? Is there one thing that is?
Well, no, not really.
Okay,
Again, each family of cancer is different. There's certainly overlap.
Yeah.
The drugs that have had the most difference, you know, there's the antibody therapies that target specific, specific areas that are unique to cancer, which kind of limit your side effects. And then there's a whole class of drugs called kinase inhibitors that have really revolutionized the way we treat cancer. But, you know, things like pancreatic cancer or liver cancer, the problem there isn't necessarily treating the cancer, it's finding it before it causes a problem. Someone who has pancreatic cancer, you know, typically asymptomatic until they're metastasized all over the place. They have 6 months to live.
Right,
that's the problem. They can't find it to treat it.
Yeah.
So,
right.
And that's like, go ahead.
Something like prostate cancer or breast cancer, there are good detectable, you know, methods to detect. Liver cancer, you can sometimes predict because someone, you know, is an alcoholic, they've got cirrhosis of the liver,
right,
or hepatitis, they're going to go down a pathway eventually towards liver cancer. But other cancers, you know, you just don't know until it's too late. You know, and that's the shame. You know, if people would focus more time on finding it and figuring out how pancreatic cancer can be detected, that would probably lead to a cure faster than trying to figure out, you know, treatments for it.
All right. All right. Well, you know, listen, we got to consider all angles on this and approach it. You know, of course, you understand how everyone hears this and they're going, dear God, this could be the most wonderful thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, hope is what keeps everyone alive and keeps everybody moving to try and find new things. It's what I, you know, stake my career on, hoping that I could find a cure for something, you know, the disease. It's treatments for the masses that will help lots of people. And no, by the way, there is no cure that's hidden by the pharmaceutical industry. Preston, you're absolutely right.
Thank you. You know, I was going to ask him. I was going to ask your opinion on that. Yeah, it's silly. Yeah.
You know, just like with HIV and you know, all the other conspiracy theories out there about the pharmaceutical industry hiding these things in an effort to make money. No, we're very interested in curing people. That's what we spend our days thinking about.
Well, there's also on a more financial end, there's also money to be made on a cure, that, you know, so there's every incentive that way as well.
Yeah, sure. I mean, these things are very expensive to make and figure out. And, you know, the pharmaceutical industry gets, you know, slapped over the head for the expense of these, of the pills and what have you they make. But consider hepatitis, you know, hepatitis C, you know, you've got a person who takes a course of antivirals, it's $80,000 a year, for an eight week or 12 week period, right? Well, compare that with the cost of a liver transplant, which is where hepatitis C victims often end out most of the time. eventually if they're not treated, or liver cancer.
Yeah.
You know, the contribution to society they're allowed to make because they're cured is well beyond, you know, hundreds of times beyond that $80,000, you know, price tag to cure them.
Well, keep at what you do.
Yep.
And hopefully you'll be calling us with some innovation you've come up with soon.
You never know.
All right.
Professor, thanks.
All right,
good to talk to you. Let's go to our other medical experts. Who, of course, called in when called upon. Dr. Mike Sirigliano, Fox 29, Penn Medicine. Hey, Dr. Mike.
I got a guy naked waiting in a room. I get a text from Marissa. Call.
Now, are you at home or are you at the office?
Let's hope he's at the office.
So I like that guy. Everything he said is absolutely true. Now, you know, this. I like the phrase, show me the money. Yeah. You know, when someone says they're going to cure cancer, that's been said before. And if they can cure all cancer with no side effects and everything's great, fabulous. And like the other caller said, I would imagine, is he an oncologist? I didn't hear the first part of that.
He does research, medical research, I guess, is what he was saying.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So everything he said basically is what we're trying to do. And being in the front lines like I am, exactly. I've had patients and continue to have and will have patients with pancreatic cancer, which is what it was said, that the problem is you can't find it early. Now, just this week, there was a research group that found another blood test when added to – there's this test called the CA19-9, and when they combined the two, they were able to find up to 70% of patients that had pancreatic cancer. So, again, wouldn't it be great to find it early?
So Mike, are you talking about able to find in earlier stages?
Yes, because like he said, and I've experienced about 15 times, people will come in what's called with painless jaundice. So they'll come in and their eyes are yellow.
Yeah.
And that's a bad sign because that means that there's something going on in their bile duct and their biliary tree. And by the time we find it, usually too late. But, you know, we are on the cusp of a wave, a crest of a wave of new treatments for cancer. And I would dare say down the road in not too distant future times, chemotherapy and radiation and things like that may play a role in some things, but it's going to be much less than what we're doing with immunotherapy and stuff like that. It's really, really exciting and amazing times to be in healthcare.
I love to talk with you about this stuff because you're legitimately enthusiastic about what's on the horizon and what's within grasp. What about I was mentioning earlier all the innovations as far as having the body recognize cancer and attack it as an invader and being able to do that. I don't know the specifics, but is that one of the core things that's really causing the revolution right now?
Well, sure. It's called precision medicine, and what we're doing, we're tailoring and we're harnessing the body's own immune system to fight against the cancer. And if you can do that without many times chemotherapy destroys good tissue with cancer cells.
Right.
So what you want to do is be precise. You want to have smart bombs that go in and target the cancer itself. Yeah. And as a primary care provider, I got to tell you, that would be and is huge. But, you know, I saw this story. I did it on Fox. And the bottom line is we're going to wait and see.
Yeah.
Cautiously optimistic. But for everyone out there, while everyone, all of these smart scientists and researchers are looking on how to find cures, you still need to take care of your machine. And the genetics part you can't really fix, but what you can do is fix the environmental part. So you eat right, you don't smoke, you don't drink too much, you get plenty of rest, you get your immune system optimized so that it can fight off things like damaged DNA and cancer. And if you do that, then you have control over it and you can reduce your risk.
You take ownership of it.
You got it.
All right. Sage advice.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Thank you, Dr. Mike.
Now, can I go back to my naked patient?
Yes, yes, you can. Yes.
Go take care of
quote,
business.
Quote, naked patient. We got you, Dr. Mike.
Love you.
Love you.
We'll see you later. Bye-bye. Yeah, listen, I mean, it's just a, it was an I think an extraordinarily bold statement to where, you know, they're saying, look, in a year we could cure all cancer. I've never heard those words uttered before.
They did.
And of course, that can get people very excited, and it may all be for naught. You never know.
Well, right, Preston. In times that we've heard it in the past, it's been we can cure all kinds of this cancer.
Yeah.
I never heard a blanket statement like this. And the enthusiasm, again, in the reporting of it even got me going, is this it?
Right.
Is this the one?
Right.
You know, because at some point down the line, you those are things you think about. What will happen when you hear on the news aliens have landed?
Exactly.
Because you have to entertain the possibility.
Yeah.
What will that be like?
Some gigantic earth-shattering news.
Yes.
Like that, like we have cured all cancers. What I mean, you know, people might go a little crazy.
How do we? We're so used to. We've had so many passes at it in fiction. We've had so many. You know what? Again, you don't know. People might freak the F out.
I mean, they have made serious headways with AIDS and HIV. And there's even you watched Rent on Sunday
I watched
night?
Rent, and when that occurred in the height of that, it was a horrific death sentence.
Yeah, but did you see the commercial that was running during
for the PrEP?
Yeah.
Yes, I see it all the time.
Yeah, I had no idea that there was
for the PrEP.
There's like basically preventative medicine that you can take that will prevent you from getting HIV.
I did
HIV.
Not know that. Interesting.
I mean, there's a lot. I mean, you look at Magic Johnson's been going all these years, you know, and he was one of the first to start receiving treatment like that. It's amazing what they've achieved there.
I hate to bring up a downer, but did you see the commercial that was they're not going to allow to run in the Super Bowl for medical marijuana?
I did see that.
Oh, my God. It's a great commercial.
It is a great commercial. The commercial shows somebody who's going through medical issues, spasms.
Having seizures. And the medical marijuana has helped this kid, and they were using this and a couple of other testimonials from people that have had success with this, and they're not going to allow it in the Super Bowl.
CBS made the call to not let it run. I guess that's their deal.
Well, the reasoning behind it is that marijuana is illegal in a lot of places and is illegal federally,
right,
medicinally and recreationally. So you could air it in certain states if you wanted to get away with it.
Okay,
but I get the argument. I don't agree with it, but I get the argument about why they wouldn't air it.
I don't think it's outlandish that they're not, but it's a good message. And I can only say that. Listen, I've never used pot in my life. I have no desire to smoke pot. I don't. Whatever the deal, this is on a medicinal level.
Yep.
When my mother was suffering through incredible pain through lung cancer at the end of her life, the only thing that provided her pain relief was pot. It's the only thing that did it, you know, so I can speak from empirical, for at least anecdotal evidence.
Yeah.
I still don't understand that part of it, though, that federally it is not legal, but you can legally get it in your
states.
State.
Yeah.
Let me explain it this way, Kathy. In my fingernail is a universe.
One atom.
Atom in, is a universe.
But that means that you could still, in some way, get in trouble for having it.
I don't, yeah.
Well, you're left with this bizarre conundrum where you're boarding a flight from a state that allows it, and then you're flying to a place, you know, like there's...
Oh yeah.
There's going to have to be a great reckoning. I don't care where you fall on the issue. Just... Now there's just a whole bunch of things in place that are there's a whole level of incompatibility as you start to cross state lines.
Well, and not even that. I was talking to a federal agent who said depending on their investigation, they could technically go in and shut down a place if need be. Like, just because the state allows it doesn't mean that they can't go in and shut it down.
Yeah. Think about all the different teachers at O'Hara High School, for example, that you could be smoking.
Yeah.
One tiny atom in my fingernail could be one little tiny universe.
Oh, and we don't have the
can I buy some pot?
You?
I haven't.
Right. No, but listen, we got to take a break because we're going live on Fox Good Day. I didn't mean to dive into such a
heavy
subject, but
we're fart people.
This group says they could have a complete cure for cancer in a year's time. And back to the
Preston
and Steve Show. Let's give away some movie screening passes. We have this screening tomorrow night for Alita Battle Angel, and it is at the UA Riverview IMAX Theater tomorrow at 7 o'clock. You need to be there by 6:30. If you want to go to this movie, it's a wild-looking movie. Casey's going to be hosting it. There's a special post-Q&A via a video feed that's taking place with James Cameron and Robert Rodriguez, I believe.
Very cool. He's the director. And
James, that's the introduction.
James Cameron's the producer.
Yeah. So anyhow, we'll take, I don't know, 10, 12 callers. We have the, we got a lot of tickets to give away. 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call now. When we come back, B-File, we're going live on Fox. Good day. $1,000, your chance to win. Go fund yourself. Stay with us.
Go fund yourself.
Fund you.
Why are you calling us?
Because I want $1,000.
You just won $1,000.
Thank you so much, MMR freaking rock.
Tune in weekdays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., as well as 1, 4, and 6 p.m. to hear that hour's winning keyword. Enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. One random entry is picked each time and wins $1,000 in cash. Plus, everyone who enters qualifies for the second chance drawing to win $10,000. MMR's Go Fund Yourself, sponsored by Armor Metals and Recycling. For all your metal and computer recycling needs, complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com.
In just a few secs, we're going to be getting to the one and only Go Fund Yourself Cash Contest. Get ready. Music Means are going on Fox Good Day. Here we go. Ooh. Ooh.
Hey, President Steve, let me just say this right off the top about those certain adult films. Not that I've ever seen one. But the thing that freaks me out most about them, if I ever had, is a lot of time the men, where they still have their watches on during it.
Okay, well, you've never seen them when you were acting in them.
Excuse me?
No, no. I have not noticed. My friends who have seen stuff like that have not noticed that.
No. Is that prevalent in the world?
It stands out to me for some reason. I just don't want a watch on while that's happening. Preston, do you leave your watch on?
I don't wear a watch. So
you wear a Flava Flav clock.
That and a Carmen Miranda hat.
That's it. Those are the two essentials.
No. You know what? Here's the deal. It depends on
what time it is.
Well, no, not what time it is. where you are in life, because when I was younger and the emotions were ready for this to take place,
yes.
Right.
Half my clothes could still be on and it would happen. I've been married for a long time now, and it's like, are we going to do this? Yeah, let's do this now. Boom, all the clothes come off. Boom, we go right to it. As opposed to seductively removing and taking time. And sometimes the passion is so high that not everything gets taken off, and that's fine. So it would depend on where I am in life.
Does
right
that make
now,
sense?
I'd be anti-watch probably,
yeah. You take it off. You'd have time.
Yeah.
For me, I there was a terrible incident that happened when I was in high school. I used to wear a sundial, and I stabbed a girl multiple times. Yeah. It was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm wondering, because Mike, he also mentioned socks. He doesn't like it when people are wearing socks. But if you're in the moment and you're like, I'm doing all this stuff, you're not going to say, hold on, stop and take off my socks or watch.
Well,
by
the way, this is 2 weeks in a row. We had a porn moan from Mike last week, and now I get it from Alex this week.
Alex is great. Would you wear socks on your hands as puppets?
I see more than watches, women leave their shoes on in these scenes, in these films.
Well, that happens.
I mean, full on stiletto heels, the whole thing. You can understand that? You have a shoe thing?
Of course.
Ah.
All right, Mike, I'm going to turn you on to some films where the women wear sandwich boards to bed. It's incredible.
Oh, my goodness.
You ever seen the spinning sign ones?
The spinning sign. It's amazing.
It's incredible.
Oh, my God. Kath, you're strangely quiet.
I'm not really watching too many porn videos.
No, I don't mean that. I mean real life.
Oh. Yeah, I would think, like, I would get scratched, maybe. I don't think I would want to wear a watch.
It depends on the watch. If it's a leather band that has a, you know, you got to unfasten it, or if it's just one of those wiggly things you can just throw off.
Well, the question is, would you see it, Kathy? Would you see it looking at it, or would you see it in the mirror?
What?
Look up.
maybe the mirror on the ceiling. Yeah.
But I could see Kathy in the middle of the throes of passion saying, could you take your watch off, please?
What about Casey Boy? Does he wear a hat still? Or does he take off his hat?
No, the hat comes off, but the watch stays on. I never take my watch off.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's a slim-faced watch. You're right.
Not really.
It's a big one.
It's pretty damn
big. It's huge.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
I heard it was huge.
Who told you that?
Yeah.
I don't
want anybody looking at their watch.
Well, you don't have to look at it while you're wearing it.
Yeah, there's other things going on that has totally got my attention.
You don't have to be going, we got about another 30 seconds on this. I don't want to get my heart rate up, so start, give me one of those Alex grunts.
Well, I just went longer than ever before.
Your timing now?
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Take care, guys. We'll see you. All right, thanks, guys.
They know when they start to get to a point, we're going to cross the line. Yeah.
I just got a text that said, this is the weirdest conversation.
I don't know where it came from.
Listen.
I don't know. Listen.
You watch a lot of porn.
I don't see watches on guys in
I don't either.
Porn, really.
But you brought up the one item that you do see a lot. The women almost always wear their high heels.
Yeah, they'll be completely naked and wear and keep the shoes on.
Yeah.
Everything but the shoes.
Well, that's just in case a deer comes into them, right?
You got to be ready to go.
Fight or flight.
That's right. All right. We're ready to give away some money.
93.3 WMMR, Philadelphia.
Go find yourself.
No, it's not a scam. We want to give you a grand. We want to fund you.
Yeah, we got $1,000 to give away. What about it? You want to try? All right, come and get it. This hour's keyword is in the MMR Go Fund Yourself Nationwide Contest is current. C-U-R-R-E-N-T, current. And you have until 8:15 to enter it via WMMR's mobile app or at WMMR.com. And we will call you if you're randomly selected and you win $1,000. And everyone who enters is qualified for the $10,000 grand prize drawing. Complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com. Remember, don't text this to us. You got to do it through the MMR mobile app or through WMMR.com. And the word is current, C-U-R-R-E-N-T. Good luck from Armor Metals and Recycling and WMMR.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Yeah! All right, this morning, Bizarre File is brought to you by Robbins Diamonds and Tax-Free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. A Florida man is behind bars after stealing what he thought were hydrocodone pills, but which turned out to actually be over-the-counter laxatives and not powerful prescription opioids. Cops allege that Peter Hans Emery took the pills from a lockbox at the victim's home Thursday morning. His relationship with the victim is unknown. Emery, cops say, was recorded by a video camera entering the victim's lockbox, selecting a pill bottle, pouring the pills into his hand, and then leaving. The pill container was labeled hydrocodone acetamphetamine. However, Emery subsequently discovered that he had not swiped painkillers. The pill bottle actually contained dosages of Equate Gentle Laxative.
I'm going to start tripping any second now.
Which promises predictable overnight relief from constipation.
Oh, dear God, what's happening?
When officers caught up with Emery, he reportedly admitted taking the pills because he thought that they were hydrocodone, but he threw them away when he learned that they were something else. Aren't you supposed to take laxatives when you take opioids?
Well, they can bind you up quite a bit if you're on them for
He could have held on to those.
Yeah.
Emery was booked on a felony charge since his rap sheet includes two prior theft convictions. Yes, he's a Florida man.
Florida man. He deserves his musical props.
Now we're going on to Pennsylvania man. A Northampton County man accused of handcuffing his wife to the inside of his car is out on bail. Police said John Van Horn is charged with false imprisonment and officers found his wife shackled to the inside of their vehicle. They responded to a 911 call at a business and the caller stated that a woman was handcuffed inside a vehicle and requesting help. They said when they arrived, they located the car in question with a middle-aged woman inside. The woman had a metal device locked on her ankle that was secured to the underside of the front passenger seat.
What the hell?
She told police her husband secured her to the vehicle to keep her there. Apparently he thought that she was cheating on him and had been doing this for a while now.
So when they go around, he would keep her locked wherever he went?
When he would leave the car, he'd leave her in there. So police say shortly after discovering the woman in the car, officers located Van Horn driving by the area in a vehicle that he had borrowed.
Look, I don't know this couple, but I think he has trust issues.
Van Horn was found to be in possession of the keys to his wife's shackles as well as two realistic-looking BB guns. Police said that learned that the victim had shackled inside the vehicle while he went to work numerous times in the past 6 months. He was arrested and got out on $50,000 bail. So, wow, that's messed up.
It's insane.
The Iowa law license of a former prosecutor who stole a co-worker's underwear has been suspended. The Iowa Supreme Court ordered the license of Benjamin Stansberry suspended indefinitely for at least 1 year. Stansberry pleaded guilty to misdemeanor theft and trespassing charges in the case following his arrest a month earlier. He had paid more than $200 in fines and court costs and resigned from his job at the Marshall County Attorney's Office. Also resigned from his position as a member of the school district board. Stansberry's arrest came after a co-worker reported finding a pair of her own underwear in her driveway just after Stansberry had been alone in the woman's house. Yeah. Authorities determined that he entered her bedroom without permission to take her panties.
So he was over at the house for something. Perhaps he was borrowing a cup of sugar.
Yeah.
And he went in and clipped some panties.
Mm-hmm. And he admitted to it. So.
These are fine. Mm. Yeah, in the old bedroom with the panties.
This is pretty messed up. Prior to gunning down his parents and brother in their home, a man accused of killing them stole $200,000 from the victims to fund an online pornographic relationship with a woman in Bulgaria, a cam girl. So Grant,
is that what incited the murder so he could get the money?
It's complicated. This guy had all kinds of issues. But Grant Amato was arrested Monday morning and is accused of killing his parents, Chad and Margaret, and his brother, Cody. They were found dead after a coworker reported Cody hadn't shown up for work. In the 3 months beforehand, deputies said Grant Amato stole $200,000 from his parents and brother and wired those funds to a woman in Bulgaria with whom he had been communicating since June on Cam Girls, an adult website.
Yeah.
Investigators spoke with the suspect's living brother who said Grant was speaking with an online call girl and sending her large amounts of money. The brother said the girl knew where the family lived and that concerned the mom, Margaret. Grant told investigators his parents gave him an ultimatum. They learned about the theft. Complete a 60-day internet and sex addiction program or leave the family home. So he went to a facility in Fort Lauderdale. He checked out just a couple of weeks later. The suspect entered the treatment facility 2 days after Chad and Margaret Amato reported Grant missing and told sheriff's office deputies their son was suffering from depression.
Support my Bulgarian whores.
They told deputies Grant had access to firearms and they were 100% convinced that he was going to try to harm himself. They thought that was going to come to him.
Didn't go that way, did it?
The missing persons report was closed after deputies spoke to Grant and said that their evaluation did not indicate that he needed a psychiatric evaluation. So they made a deal with him. He could come and stay at the home, and he needed to clean his act up or he was going to get kicked out. And then I believe they found out that they were going to kick him out, and he killed everybody. So it's just messed up.
Do you think the cam girl becomes a part of like the trial? Did they have to subpoena her?
If the cam girl really even, you know...
Yeah.
It existed?
Yeah. Or who knows with these things. They're usually all scams. They'll get a lot of these guys on the hook, and they'll milk them for a lot of money.
We're going to end with a lighter story.
Please.
A Slovakian man broke a Guinness World Record when he extinguished 62 matches on his tongue in 1 minute.
All right, wow. Slovakia.
Pavel Durek earned the record for most matchsticks extinguished with the tongue in 1 minute when he put out 62 tiny flames with his tongue in the time allowed. He also had to light the matches with the one-minute time frame to qualify for the record. Actually, that's really... Imagine, 62 in 1 minute, that's moving, yeah.
Well, I mean, is he doing more than one at a time?
I don't know.
He's not a robot.
Guinness said Durek already has several records to his name. He's one of those guys, including most socks put on 1 foot in 30 seconds.
How many?
I don't know.
There are guys out who...
I know. Listen, I think Casey could break some of these records, and I think he should try. To be honest, there are some silly ones on there, and I think he should try to break records.
So we were talking about this, like the month of stunts we did a while ago. You know, you got hit with how many...
Paintballs. 1,000?
Yep.
I mean... You were up in the realm. We should have kept better records of all that stuff because we're watching right now.
Yeah, we're watching the dude do it. He does put them out one at a time, Casey.
Yeah.
He lights them using both hands, so he strikes them at the same time, then puts them out one at a time, sure enough.
Oh, my God.
So, anyway, maybe we'll look into a breakable record by Casey. That'd be kind of
right nice. On the show.
The socks thing would be hard because, you know, I got a bad back.
That's true. We can find something else.
I can't because of my back.
We have a secret text word today. Chance for you to see Villanova take on Georgetown Sunday at the Wells Fargo Center. Text word secret 39333. See if you can win a little bit later on. I need to give away more of these movie passes. Like I said, we have like 100 to give away, and the screening is tomorrow night, and it's this movie, Alita Battle Angel. Looks pretty wild. It's at the UA Riverview IMAX Theater, 7 o'clock. You need to be there by 6:30. So if you can go, give us a call right now. It's a movie on us, man.
Yeah.
We'll set you up. 215-263-WMMR. Give us a call. We're going to take a break. We will be back in just a moment. By the way, the word for Go Fund Yourself is current. Just a reminder, C-U-R-R-E-N-T. You have until 15 after the hour to get that in through the MMR mobile app or at WMMR.com. So good luck to you. We'll be back in a moment.
What are you doing here?
The one thing we know how to do. MMR rocks.
Kath sent me this listing for a house in Stone Harbor.
Mm.
And it's lovely. There's big picture windows, and it's quaint. You know, it's a nice looking little home. And
it's a very
three bedrooms, vaulted ceilings, and a bright modern kitchen. And it only costs $7.95 million.
Oh, that's it. It's right on the beach?
Right on the beach.
Stone Harbor.
Jesus.
But you have to see it. It's small. It's like a little cottage house. And what you can't see in that picture, because I don't know if there's a colored printer anywhere in this building, but it's like a very bright colored house. It's teal. Like you would, it would catch your eye if you passed by it. It's very cutely decorated.
Do you have a picture of it over there, Preston?
But it's not a $7.9 million house that you would expect.
What?
Seven.
That's $7.9 million?
No.
That's, all right. So to $9. Me, to explain it to you listening, it's like a cottage.
Yeah.
I don't know what the square footage is because the rooms and everything looks nice. It's two story, you know. It's got an ocean view.
It's what I would call quaint. It looks adorable.
Yeah, I'm curious what the
not $7.9 million adorable.
So they actually don't list the square footage.
This was in PhillyMag.com. What's that?
They actually don't list the square footage.
In most listings or this one in
particular? No, in this one in particular, it says that it's not known.
Okay.
But there's a reason that it's...
Yeah, you want me to read the...
Yeah, please.
Here's the reason.
Who lived there? Who famous lived there?
Nobody. It was built in the 50s, by the way. It was built in 1954, I think it was said here. So it is... it's the last house before the ocean, so it's right there on the ocean. It's located across 111th Street... from a bird sanctuary.
Okay. I know where this is.
Yeah. Mm. That's where the million-dollar birds live.
Behind which sits Villa Marie, the Immaculate Heart of Mary Convent.
Which will never be developed.
Okay.
So that's part of the appeal.
Yep.
All right, so the convent
but
is...
But those nuns party all night long.
Shut up.
The convent is set back 270 feet from the ocean end of the dunes, and the bird sanctuary in those dunes extends all the way from this point to the nearby south end of the island. That means, so here's the deal. You get an unobstructed 270-degree view of the ocean, beach, and dunes. So there's it's an unobstructed view.
Nothing.
Yeah, you just see nothing
except
but
for the
ocean.
Occasional nuns on playing volleyball.
Yeah, yeah. You see ocean and sand, and not even power lines intrude on it, and you enjoy a beach that almost feels private thanks to the absence of lots of neighbors.
All right.
$7,950,000 is what this is going on.
All right, so we're looking at a picture of it from the back facing the ocean. It does have quite a glorious view. To the right, Preston, is the bird sanctuary. Is that where that begins?
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
All right, and then behind it is the convent right there with the swimming pool and the ATVs.
Yeah, I mean, Stone Harbor really is some of the priciest real estate along the Jersey Shore, so it's a high figure, but I'm not surprised by it. And it's location, location, location.
But look at it. It's
location, exactly.
Like, it's just a cottage. It is not this big mansion that you would think would be $7.9 million.
Yeah, but it's beachfront property.
So you're going to buy that and then tear it down and put up a nicer house.
Are you?
If you got that kind of money, then you can sink another $500,000 into.
Yeah, but
the footprint's not that big, so the house can't be. Whatever you put there is not going
to
be that.
Well,
big.
That's what I mean. So I wonder what the property's like. If they are going to tear it down, they're not going to be able to put some big monstrosity.
So what you're basically buying is the protection from development.
Yeah, exactly.
For the most part.
Which, at the Jersey Shore, is a big thing.
Yeah, God. Because there was the story, I think it was last year, about people who had purchased. So the year before, you guys are more tuned to what's going on down at the shore, but they had purchased what they was a view of the ocean, and then there was a whole series of houses going in between them and the ocean.
That happens all the time. People lose their views all of the time. People will argue with their neighbors. They'll go to the town meetings and try to stop them from putting decks or steps or whatever just to save their view.
Right. Yeah, and zoning and reconstruction and renovations at the beach at the Jersey Shore are really restricted. Casey, I don't know if you and I were talking about it, or maybe you and me, Kathy, but there are homes where they will not knock them down completely. They will build around, and basically they'll build a brand new home, a newly renovated home, around the existing home so that they can get around some of the zoning rules.
Yeah, the grandfather laws and stuff like that. Like, there's certain...
So they're building a house around a house?
Yeah. So, like,
they will gut everything on the inside. They'll knock it down to the foundation, but they'll keep that quote-unquote footprint and build a new home around it instead of...
So they don't have to...
Nick, so what my friends did was they didn't even gut the inside of that house. I mean, they updated it, but they literally left the exact house right there, and they built around it and up. But that house stayed. So that original house, what they had, stayed as it was, and then they built an entire giant house around it. Mm.
Got a text says, I'm an architect in Stone Harbor / Avalon. We've done over 100 homes down there. Average price is around $2 to $4 million for an inland home.
Yeah.
Inland Dear home. God. That means... Inland.
Yeah. I don't go to the shore too much. The restaurant that we've gone to a couple of times.
Reed's.
Yeah, is that in Stone Harbor?
That's in Stone Harbor, yeah.
It's really nice.
Yeah. What? And that's where they have the jet shoes that you can fly in the air.
Like Stone Iron Man. Oh,
that's right by the Reed's.
Oh, I didn't know that you could actually do that here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's where, like,
with
you know,
the grand from Tony Stark.
That's why I want to buy that area in Wildwood Crest. It's a little Wave Runner area, and then you could put the little thing there. Yeah. You guys can borrow $3 million.
Have you ever been down to Malibu proper in California?
Yeah. When I did the Franklin and Bash thingy, we had a party beachfront at this house in Malibu. It was awesome.
As you go down streets, you can hardly even tell their home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, you don't even know.
They hide them
and
well.
And then across like hedges are the again, and there are places. There was one that I just saw. Some celebrity just sold it, $6-7 million, half the size of the house we just looked at here. Mm-hmm. Like nothing, but it's right there.
But at least
all you have in front of you is the Pacific Ocean.
But you also have the weather that kind of you can use that year round. That the Jersey Shore. Now I've been down there for the winter more than ever before. So I was down there right after Thanksgiving, around Christmas.
You've got ice fishing, just to explain to people.
But there's not a whole lot you can do down there. You know, for the most part, you know, a lot of things just kind of shut down, and it's just...
It's depressing a little bit.
A little bit, but it's also, like, if you can appreciate it for what it is, you know...
If you want to go and slow down for a while, though, that's a pretty good place to go.
How about taking the time to write your novel?
Yeah. You could do that as well.
I love the beach in the winter. On a contemplative sort of just relaxing Zen thing, I think it's phenomenal. I would probably be down there a lot if I had a place down there. I don't like the overcrowded nature of the summer, you know.
Casey, how much was your cousin's house that I went and squatted at that one night?
And that's on the beach in the Villas. That's my uncle's house, and it's like $1.5 million.
That's it?
Yeah.
Dude, this house is huge on the beach. Felt like a private beach. Why would this be so much more expensive than that?
Well, that's the difference between Wildwood and...
No, this is the Villas.
Press the Villas.
And we're Villas is on the bay.
Probably a 6,000-7,000 square foot home.
It's
maybe
a huge
bigger
home.
Here's the difference. You get a synagogue behind it, alpaca reserve to the right.
Wait, what's the... I don't docile. Know what the Villas...
So the Villas, it goes up the bay, up the Delaware Bay. So it's not actually, it's not the ocean right there. So there's no surf. And
you're facing west and you get to see the sun set over the water.
You get a beautiful,
pretty cool, man.
Unobstructed sunset every single night. And it's quieter, but like.
It's north of Cape May.
It's north of Cape May. And you don't really swim in the bay.
Yeah.
You know, I mean.
But you're right, Kathy. It's the difference between Stone Harbor and Bayside. And I don't know why exactly that real estate is worth so much more in Stone Harbor, but it is.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, why is Stone Harbor that expensive?
Here, I got a realtor on the line.
Yes.
Who wants to explain it? Lionel, good morning.
Good morning. I'm sorry you're bothering me at work.
Thank you for turning that around. What's up, man?
It's that house is a teardown. Yeah. It was built in the 50s. It's not hurricane compliant. It's probably not raised. I mean, there's
it's not.
There's a whole bunch of reasons why 10 minutes after settlement, the bulldozer's there and that thing's gone.
Right.
Its location and, you know, Stone Harbor plus the lack of neighbors' ability to, you know, build near it and buy it and it's ocean. They ain't making no more ocean products.
Hey, by the way, Lionel, to answer Kathy's question, why Stone Harbor? Why is that so desirable?
It's just it's one of the more desirable of the Philadelphia suburb destination.
So what makes it that? Does it have to do with who got there first? So you had some well-moneyed people get there.
It's like a Louis Vuitton purse. Like it's just the name. Now.
Just let's just say it ain't Wildwood.
Yeah. Okay. So let me ask you. You're saying that after they sell this house, bulldozers are going to come in and level it.
Before the sun goes down on settlement day, they'll be tearing it. They'll be tearing that sucker down. Because if you can afford that price, you can afford to build a designer home on that.
Yeah, and if you're going to put a designer home on that, I mean, because the footprint's not that big, how much are you going to spend on that? Less than $1 million.
For build, probably $200-$250 a square foot to build. So,
okay.
So
if you do something like, 2 square feet, it's only $500.
For damn floor. Right, but just to sort of put this into perspective, there is a new home that's being built in Wildwood Crest on the bay. It is gigantic. I mean, it is
10,000 square feet.
I mean, looking at that cottage, it's like 4 of those.
Right.
It's 4 of those, and it's $2 million or something. I mean, listen, $2 million is obviously a lot of money, but it's right on the bay.
I'm sure Lionel
will agree too. In this case, it's location, location, location. Mm-hmm. As Nick pointed out, you're blocked from having development go up around you.
Yep,
That's the privacy factor and bragging rights.
Yeah, all the birds you can pet.
Appreciate it, my man.
I don't want to make this a story about myself, but just a fun fact about this story. I had the worst choke of my life when it came to being on a date in that bird sanctuary.
Really?
And this is a girl. And
did
I had
a bird fly down your throat?
No. I had a huge crush on her. This was in high school. And Steve, I just blew it 100%. It was awful.
What'd you do?
This girl named Megan, she was really hot. And for whatever reason, she was into me. We went on a date in the bird sanctuary. Like, I thought that would be... Yeah.
Romantic
down the shore.
I packed some string cheese and Kool-Aid. How old were you?
17 or 18.
Right.
Totally liked this girl. I knew her my whole life.
Nice move, going to the sanctuary.
Thank you. And we get back, and I'm driving, get in the car, and take her back to the house, and we're waiting for some people. We were going to go out with some more friends afterwards. And I was like, well, what do you want to do while we wait? And she goes, well, we could just sit here and make out. And I was like, and then I turned on the radio. And I blew it. To this day.
I am so mad at you right now.
I am mad at me, too.
I would be angry at myself for the rest of my life.
The rest of my life.
I don't understand. What
this guy's a gay bird lover.
That's how I felt. Yeah. That's how I still feel.
He wants to become a nun.
Yeah. Man,
I've had those moments too.
Oh, it was awful.
Well, not to go off.
I'm sorry.
We're done talking about
that. I had one where there was it's my time at Dunkin' Donuts. Now, we run on Dunkin'.
Yeah, we do.
But it also brings some bad memories because there was a girl who was so completely into me and I was completely into her. And at that point, basically, she said, my parents come over to my house, It was as overt as you could get. I will hump your brains out.
Mm-hmm.
Same sort of reaction.
What is that? What is that reaction? Is it embarrassment or inability to seal the deal?
Because you spend so much time planning out this precise progression you think you're going to need to institute to get to that point.
Yeah.
That when it's slapped in your face, it throws you off so dramatically that I had no. And I'm good. I mean, I've always been good with talking to women. It's never been an issue. But at that point, I was like,
"Yeah,
you don't know how to handle that."
Yeah. I was on a. We all have these.
Yes.
Yeah. They haunt us forever.
Uh huh.
I was on a band trip in high school. So we were traveling to, we went to Nashville for a band. Or maybe it was orchestra. It was orchestra. Yes, because Darcy was in orchestra. Anyway. And I found somebody, a friend of mine, this girl, Darcy Arnold. She's like, hey, tell him, Preston, I like him. Hey, dude, Darcy Arnold likes you. Wow, really? She's really, really cute, too.
Yeah.
And I just balked. I didn't do anything. I did nothing. And on the bus ride home, she was in the back making out with somebody else. Could have been me.
Man. This girl, by the way, was going off on a date that was supposed to make me jealous and then said, I don't have to go. But he'll be upset.
Right?
I just horrible handling.
I think that's it, Steve. I think she preempted my move in my head at 17 or 18, which was going to come an hour or two later. And I did not expect it at that particular time.
You had it all planned out. All right, so I'm gonna hand her some bird feet. Yeah. Our hands will touch.
We can just sit here and make out.
These stories of that one time where the girl was slumming it. Kathy, tell us the time that you were slumming it. that you gave that guy that didn't have a chance.
I always had a boyfriend.
Yeah, and they were always worthy.
I mean, yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Sure, I'll come to Juniata Park.
Oh, my God!
All right, anyhow. Well, if you got a house like this, chances are you can get some.
That's
How about
right.
that? Is that a way to wrap it up?
That's good.
Or you have a place to go cry.
Yeah, maybe. So $7.95 million is how much this Oceanside cottage in Stone Harbor will run you. I saw another story, and these guys could afford this home. I thought this was pretty great. Casey, you have asked before. I think it was you that's asked before. When the lottery gets up to, you know, $300-400 million, why not just go and purchase every single combination of numbers? Which, by the way, it's millions.
Yes.
It would take you millions of dollars in order to get that many. And then try to sift through and find a winning ticket if you have one. Well, there's this retired couple that won $26 million by using arithmetic to beat the game's odds. So it's a bit of a lengthy story, but it's worthwhile. I really loved reading this. Jerry and Marge Selby owned a convenience store in Evart, Michigan before they retired. And they got retired and they got rich by winning multiple state lottery games over the next 6 years.
So they owned a convenience store at which they sold the lottery tickets?
No, it doesn't indicate
that. Okay.
So the scheme began in 2003 when Jerry, who graduated college with a degree in mathematics, saw a brochure for a new lottery. It was called Windfall, and realized right away how to beat it. The game featured what they call a roll-down effect, which meant that if no one won the $5 million jackpot, the money would be spread across those who matched either 5, 4, or 3 numbers instead of all 6. Okay?
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So lottery officials announced when this happened, so Jerry would buy thousands of tickets.
So just to clarify,
knowing that he would get a certain amount of matches.
To clarify, in most cases, that pot usually rolls over to the next round.
Yes.
It doesn't then just get broken down to subcategories of numbers.
Correct. This is a $5 million jackpot that would be spread out across all those who match either 5, 4, 3 or numbers. So he would buy a certain amount. He would buy thousands of tickets and get a certain amount of matches. So simply put, Jerry explained it that if he bought $1,100 worth of tickets, he would have at least 1 4-number winner, which would pay him $1,000. He would also get at around 18 or 19 3-number winners, which paid $50 apiece, and that would total $1,900. So he bought $1,100 worth of tickets, and he would win $1,900. So there's a profit right there.
Right, yeah.
So when he tried his plan for the first time, he bought $3,600 worth of windfall tickets, and he won back $6,300. Profit right there.
Right,
$3,000 profit right there. So the Selbys would eventually buy hundreds of thousands of dollars in tickets when a rollback week was announced, earning them massive profits.
Great question.
Yes.
Where are they buying these tickets? At how many locations? And what did no one say?
Well,
what's going on here?
Let me continue. They don't explain where they bought the tickets,
right.
But the next time he bought $8,000 in tickets and nearly doubled his investment. So
yes, 8,000 tickets, please.
Yeah. So he told his wife about the winnings, and the couple began playing with hundreds of thousands of dollars. Eventually, Jerry set up an entire corporation.
Wow.
Called GS Investment Strategies, and invited friends and families to buy shares for $500 each. Okay, and the reason he had a corporation, I'll explain. So the Windfall game later closed down in Michigan for lack of sales, so the couple began playing in Massachusetts where the game was still being offered.
Oh, my God.
GS Investment Strategies grew to 25 members, and for the next 6 years, they won massive amounts of money during the announced roll-down weeks. So the Selby said that they would sit in a hotel and sort through tickets for 10 hours a day, 10 days in a row, playing more than $600,000 per attempt. So each time this would happen, they would buy $600,000 worth of tickets.
All right.
And then they would spend weeks
sifting through these numbers to find the winners.
Forgive me, I know you're trying to parse out the information. So they're sifting through. They're looking at each number,
each and every
for winners.
Yes,
That would drive me crazy, yeah.
And that's
wouldn't
why
be worth
people
it.
Don't do it.
Yeah, yeah,
right. Okay, but these guys did. They did this 7 times a year, and they said it was just basic arithmetic. It gave you the satisfaction of being successful at something that was worthwhile. He said. To not only us personally, but to our friends and our family. The only thing I found really remarkable is nobody else really seemed to grasp it, he said. In 2011, the Boston Globe got a tip that someone may be scamming the cash windfall game.
It's not a scam.
And later found that the Selbys and a group of math majors from MIT were actually monopolizing on the winnings. There was another group at MIT that was doing it.
Wow.
Jerry kept all the losing lottery tickets, which totaled near $18 million. And filled 65 plastic buckets. More than $17 million was bet by the MIT group, earning over $3.5 million in profits before the Massachusetts state treasurer shut down the game and began an investigation, which found that the chances of winning were not affected by the high volume betting. Therefore, the Selbys did not commit a crime. It was totally, completely legal.
Legitimate.
Wow.
See, what I would do is I would buy 10 lottery tickets and end up owing $26 million.
Seriously?
So the corporation earned $26 million, which included an $8 million profit by the time that they were done.
So they made themselves, after all of these efforts, $8 million.
Yep.
So with man hours equated out, that's still pretty good.
They only did it 7 times a year.
7 times a year
for 10 days.
10 days.
Working 10 hours a day. That's pretty solid.
That's pretty great. I wonder if... because, like, filling these sheets out all the time,
right.
If they just had, all right, you fill these sheets out one time, and now we have these sheets, you know, to stick into the lottery machine.
You keep
machine.
Using them. I got you, yeah.
I'm
sure they refine their methodology.
They use the money to renovate their home and pay for the education of their 6 children, 14 grandchildren, and 10 great-grandchildren. They recently sold their incredibly story to movie producers who plan to make a movie about it.
And they donated a lot to this GoFundMe campaign in Philadelphia.
Oh,
this homeless guy.
Yeah. Good investment.
Oh, did he get gas for...
it was an incredible story. Yeah. Wow. And they gave him $500,000.
I thought that was pretty amazing that they managed to do it, that they actually went through with it and to turn it into a corporation.
There's the difference. I would never do that. I don't even just play the regular lottery, you know, for just 1 or 2 tickets. So the notion of this commitment is amazing. They deserve it. They, you know, their winnings. But I'd kill myself.
It seems like a lot of work. I think I'd rather just go to work.
I'd rather be one of those people that clips coupons, you know. And
that's a lot of work.
Apparently, CBS Sunday Morning had this couple on, or maybe it was 60 Minutes, and they did a special on them. But at 7, that's only working every other month for 10 days. And you can make millions of dollars.
Did you guys ever see that movie 21? I think that's what it was called, with Kevin Spacey.
Yeah,
They game the system, and I think it was maybe MIT students or something.
It was. In fact, it was MIT
counting,
students,
which is illegal.
Is it illegal, or is it just frowned upon?
It was illegal.
Okay.
But they did it in, obviously, as they're super smart, they did it in an ingenious way. Do you remember what happened to them, Casey? You remember how it ended off?
I don't. It was based on a true story.
I remember he was accused of molesting people.
But they would go to these casinos in Vegas, and they found ways to make it work and made a lot of money doing it.
So has it ever been explained why counting cards, if you're sitting there playing at the... It's just the discretion of the casino to set the rules, and that's that, right?
Because I have no idea.
You are simply playing the game if you're doing that.
That's what I always thought. I don't understand why it's considered bad cricket or illegal or whatever it may be.
Because can you say the gathering data on horses running in a race and setting up like a flow chart and coming to conclusions about who will win a race, is that illegal? Because
or doing your research.
You're basically doing your research.
Yeah.
And you're just doing it on the fly in the moment.
Yeah. I don't know why they don't like it, but that is the case. How about, I had another story.
Please.
It's kind of junk drawerish, really. That
yesterday.
Or did I notice?
Noticing we just did the junk drawer, and so he's back.
Marissa sent me this story. You guys remember the New York City pizza rat?
Oh, yes.
There's a video of a rat dragging around a pizza. It was pretty funny.
There were a couple other rats along the way too, right?
Yeah, there was like a bagel squirrel or something like that, I think.
Yeah.
Well, now Philadelphia has the pretzel rat.
Yeah!
Pretzel rat.
Oh my god.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Pennsylvania now has the pretzel rack.
Which is apropos for the city.
Yeah.
I mean, pretzels, you know.
Thanks for keeping up the spirit.
A Reddit user spotted the rodent's cousin scavenging the tracks of inside the 13th. It says 13th Street Station. Of SEPTA's Market Frankfurt line, and
I used to be a Rolling Stone.
And recorded video of the determined little pest dragging not one but two soft pretzels still stuck together. And it's unclear if the pretzel rat later abandoned his prized possession as Pizza Rat had after he got enjoying the bountiful.
Do you know what? Growing up in New York, never saw pretzels like this. You know, this kind of configuration for pretzels. Mm-hmm. It was not common. Now, you know, it's so common down here.
Mm-hmm.
It was always the big standard old style.
But
Bavarian pretzel.
Looking at this video of the rat dragging the pretzel around, the pretzels are the size of the rat. Imagine what that would equate to in human
food.
What would you be dragging around?
A pretzel.
Food-wise, that would be the size of you.
A human-sized soft pretzel.
I mean,
it'd be
like a side of beef, right? Yeah. You know, something like that.
Like two sides of beef, almost. Yeah. When Rocky's pounding away on a side about a side of beef.
That is what this... Rat
I'm
just
very
came
hungry.
That's what this rat just came across.
I'm Rocky Rat.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to eat that, Rock.
Dude, what if you saw a video of a rat punching punching pretzels? Soft pretzels.
By the way, is that bad for the meat when he does that? Or is that better?
Well, you remember Paulie complains because you're splintering the bones.
He's breaking the ribs. Yeah.
What? I'm sorry?
I said,
I have no idea what you just said.
I don't think you said anything.
Did I just say anything?
I would think that would ruin the meat.
Okay.
Basically. I mean, you can tenderize beef, obviously, but not for all cuts of meat. So I would imagine that beating up the meat like that would not be good for it.
Well, just to clarify, we started with pudding. But it was too easy!
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
The ability of, you know, of size ratio.
Yeah. What they can drag around.
Unbelievable.
That's pretty cool.
We all need rats. If the animals can do it, why can't we?
Right? So we now have pretzel rat. I noticed something that will speak to Mr. Morrison.
Oh.
I will speak to you, narrator.
The notice just giving something to Steve, who's me. I'm in some bizarre loop right now.
Bald men are often seen as more successful and dominant than men with lush locks.
Now,
according to a study from 2012.
I sent this over to you with a little subject line saying, I am obviously disproving this theory every day. but it was an interesting thing. I always wonder if the people who conduct these studies are themselves bald.
Well, no, or is it because they're a little more intimidating looking?
The research says that women tend to find hairless men to be larger, stronger, and more powerful.
There you go.
There it is, right? The research was conducted by scientist Albert E. Manes from the University of Pennsylvania.
I've conducted a few of those, and it's my conclusion that bald men are actually erotic and exciting.
And he is bald.
There you go. Look at Moby. There's your virile man.
The study, which compiled information from 59 subjects, showed the participants multiple photos of men. The first photo featured a man with a full head of hair, and the second one showed that same man with no hair. Most participants reported that they found the bald men to be more attractive overall.
I have to say, years ago when I adopted the bald thing, best decision I ever made.
Yeah.
I mean, by that time I was rocking sort of a Bruce Willis diehard anyway.
Yeah.
And then I took it down to like a crew and then like a, you know.
And even that look, I don't mind. I mean,
no.
If you're doing that and not, you know, attempting a comb over, you know, trying to, you know, pull one over on us, I think that look is totally fine.
Man, Kathy showed me a photo of somebody that she knows that was or is wearing a toupee recently. And it looks awful. Just awful.
Show us the picture, Kathy.
I know.
Are you allowed
to?
It's
really bad.
Okay.
By the way, Steve, if you were to grow your hair back, would you be slightly bald up here, receding?
Bruce Willis, Die Hard with a Vengeance.
I hated that movie.
Give us something else.
I would have it come out to like
up there, Midway?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So I'd have a little bit. It'd be
so you made the good decision.
Yeah. I mean, I was salt and pepper hair in high school, mm-hmm. so I was a little bit of grays going on then.
Oh, I see it, Steve. So like
this,
oh,
yeah. Like that.
Yeah,
that's what I'd be.
That's just no offense.
Yeah.
Stupid looking hair.
Yeah.
I'm glad you went bald. Oh, okay. No, that guy needs to be bald.
Oh, my God.
That guy needs to be
bald. Is that somebody you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is Sam Jackson bald now, too? I forget.
Yes.
He is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he and Bruce Willis had the same hairstyle in Die Hard with a Vengeance. Mm.
So, apparently, here we go. Baldness makes an immediate and obvious statement about a guy.
I'm bald!
Seth Godin, a bald man, said, I'm not saying that shaving your head makes you successful, but it starts the conversation that you've done something active. He's a tech entrepreneur, by the way.
How about Jeff Bezos? He's bald, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Apparently, they come across as smarter, too. Bald men are typically older and tend to be seen by women as more intelligent and wiser, according to a separate study conducted.
I'm smart, successful, and bald.
At the University of Saarland.
See, I always thought, like, way back in the day, I thought it looked weird. Not on black men, but on white men. I thought it looked weird. I go back like Daddy Warbucks, and he looked weird.
It looked odd. Like, it was there were few and far between. Years and years and years ago, there was an actor, Yul Brynner, who was a bit of a sex symbol, the King and I.
He was one of the only ones that could pull it off.
He could rock it. He was a macho man. He was in the Magnificent Seven, and he was just, you know, Westworld.
Telly Savalas, another great actor, but he stood out. It looked odd that he had a bald head, but he was considered a sex
Who loves you, baby?
Yeah, yeah. So there's one catch. So bald spots don't apply to this. Men only seem more attractive, intelligent, and successful if they are completely hairless and bald.
Totally, have you always liked the bald look on guys? Was Dennis bald when you first started dating him?
Yeah, he was bald, but my boyfriends before that were not.
Like Fabio?
Right, exactly. He had a lot of hair. Yeah, so I don't know, but I completely see this, how they could, you know, just kind of seem a little more intimidating and, mm-hmm. and not the bald patch, because that's just like, all right, yeah, come on,
I don't
shave
know
your
what
head.
To do. I mean, the science.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas I say, I'm shaving my head, bitch.
I would, too. If I had thinning hair, I would take it off. But I have a wonderful, lush head of hair.
You do.
Oh, my God. It's like, he's like Liberace.
It's why you're not as successful, though, as Steve.
I know. But I can't bring
we
myself
We have achieved
up.
Exactly the same level of success.
We have identical contracts.
It's in the contract. So that shoots that theory down. No, but he gets to keep his hair.
But if I had thinning or balding hair, I would definitely take it all off.
It was weird when I. It's so funny. You talk about like blowing that thing with the girl in the bird sanctuary. These things that you do in life, where I'm like, my hair was a super crew cut.
Yeah.
Super crew cut. And I bought a bald wig to see how I would look.
it was
right there anyway. And I'm so stupid. I'm like, I want to see how, as if something different would happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, you convince yourself of these things. It's not like I was going from Bon Jovi to bald. I was, you know, like a number one setting on the electric razor.
Yeah. Right.
But, you know, these are the things you think about.
They find that men who have bald spots or patterned baldness tended to be seen as weaker and less attractive. So you take the same guy and you just, let's say you take a completely bald guy, and if you put on like a male pattern baldness wig on him, he would automatically turn to weaker and less attractive.
So I'll tell you something.
Wow.
And let me ask you, so when I did start shaving my head, I think there was more interest in me a little bit. And also, Preston, did you notice that when you got married, there was more ended up on the radar of women a little bit more?
I don't know. That's hard to say. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I know that does happen, but I don't, me for personal experience, I don't
And I would
I
always say,
happen.
I got married because I like this woman a lot. Mm-hmm.
Steve, when you mentioned Bon Jovi, he still has a good head of hair, although he's fairly gray at this point. But, you know, I've noticed over the last 2 or 3 years, maybe a little longer, that Eddie Vedder is starting to lose his hair a little bit. And Eddie's always had long hair. But if you look at him now, he's got a little bit of a bald patch going in the back. Just thinning. And it's weird to see rock stars, especially ones that had long hair, start to lose it a little bit.
By the way, the best ever toupee moment in a movie has to be Tommy Boy.
Oh, my God. Yes. You tell no one.
And I will kill you. Tell anyone and I will kill you.
David Spade.
All right, anyhow. These are just a couple things I noticed. I figured I'd pass them along to you.
We do notice things.
Yeah, we do.
Steve really liked that last story.
We do have to take a break. We'll come back in a second. Don't forget, we have a secret text word. A chance to win some Villanova tickets are playing this weekend. Georgetown, right? On Sunday. Text word secret to 39333. We'll see if you win a little bit. We'll take a break and be back in a moment. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Choose to love in any language with a Valentine's Day spa package from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations and give the gift of relaxation this Valentine's Day.
Steven Singer is re-releasing exclusive 24-karat gold dip rose colors just for you. If you missed out on a color, here's your chance to add it to her collection. Check out all the available colors at IHateStevenSinger.com. Steven Singer Jewelers, one place, one price.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
The Cardboard Classic's about a month away. It's on March 1st, so we're approaching that 1 month, you know, warning time where you better start getting your sled together and get it ready. And here is a sign of that. I love this. There's a flash sale at the MMR Rock Shop, which means we throw up a few items, a limited number of items that you can buy for now. And they are, it's Cardboard Classic merchandise.
Oh, I've got to get a replacement. I lost my cap.
I still have the hat.
Yeah.
And somewhere I have a shirt, I think, too. But you can get the Preston and Steve Cardboard Classic winner hat and hoodie. Now at the MMR Rock Shop. I haven't even gone to look what they see what they look like yet.
So that
I need to go look at that.
Oh, this is an even better. Oh, okay, this is a better hat.
Oh,
I liked that last year, but I got to get, because that was actually one of my favorite. What is they call it, a beanie? Okay, we'll go with the beanie.
Yeah, this one's a beanie. The last year was, I don't know what you call it. It was a toque. It had the little pom pom on the top of it.
They usually sell out, right?
Yeah. What's that?
I'm sorry. They usually sell out, don't they?
Yes, they do.
I believe so. Yeah. So it's a limited time only. And you have to purchase by February 7th at noon, but if you do that, you'll have it in time for the event.
So, all right, I'm going to get the hoodie.
Get on it and get your Cardboard Classic merchandise as we get ready for that.
I'd love to have one for the 2018. I survived.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
I survived the winter tsunami.
A list of the dead cardboard sleds on the back of it.
And keep in mind, I'm sorry to interrupt, Casey, is that we have a new category this year, favorite fail.
Oh, we're covering our bets.
Yep, so we'll see that. And also, Captain Morgan is our new sponsor. So there's a Captain Morgan prize as well, best Captain Morgan themed sled.
You mention that the best design has we upped the prize dollars?
I didn't. It's $2,000 for
two
first
grand.
Place. Yeah, so it's a nice little bump in prize money. We're doubling it.
Yeah.
So it's cool stuff, man.
And I'm excited. We are going to meet the babies that were born last year.
That's right. They're going to come out.
God bless them.
God bless them.
Tempt fate. Tempt fate. I tell you what. It's like the Spinal Tap's drummer, Preston, right? What are the odds it's going to happen again? I think I'm looking forward to a great one this year.
Yep, absolutely. Oh, and speaking of babies, Casey wants me to mention this. Intern Joe Yoakum.
Yeah.
Yes. And his wife just had a baby.
Yay!
Well, that's awesome.
I know.
So it's Joe and Abby.
Yes.
Wow.
A boy, right?
No, it was a baby girl.
A baby girl.
He didn't give me her name, but she's a big baby. She was born earlier this morning at 9 pounds, 5 ounces.
Wow. That's a big one.
20 inches.
Wow. All right.
It's a big baby. I had been lobbying for a couple of names, or actually just one name, so... I love the name Josie. So if anybody wants to name their baby girl Josie,
I like that.
Please do that. Not Josephine, just straight up Josie.
Josie.
Yeah.
Is that because of the song from Steely Dan?
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right. Josie comes home. Nice.
So good. Or Dr. Wu.
Yes.
Another Steely Dan song.
Because then they'd always call him
Woo!
Woo!
All right. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's very cool.
We remember when we were shooting a hot sauce up his ass.
We remember the fond days.
Here he is raising a family.
Speaking of hot sauce, do you guys dip your chicken nuggets in hot sauce?
Yep.
Okay. You may not want to do that in these that are coming up because they've been recalled.
Oh,
Kathy
yeah.
had a story right. earlier this morning. Did you like that segue? yeah, you had a story earlier this morning where there's been a recall on nuggets. You remember what brand it
yeah,
was?
Yeah, it was Tyson brand, the Panko chicken nuggets.
37,000 pounds
of chicken nuggets.
Of chicken nuggets have been recalled because it may contain plastic.
Some which, blue rubber.
I'm totally blue cool rubber. With that.
Okay, rubber. I'm sorry, not plastic.
Right? Yeah. Like occasionally sure. a little bit of blue rubber in my chicken nuggets. That's fine.
I mean, you'll see it. It's blue.
Yeah.
You know if you want to eat it or not. Now, I got us briefly, we talked about whether or not you will, you'll stop eating something if you find something in your food.
So if you find like a little piece of plastic and something you're eating and you enjoy, you continue, right?
It depends on how hungry I am.
Sure.
If I'm hungry, yeah, I'll keep
yeah,
it.
I'm
so does a hair kill it for you?
It makes it less appetizing, but sometimes it won't stop me from eating.
All right.
You know? I had it happened the other day, and I forgot where I was or what I was eating, but I remembered seeing a hair, and I was like, man, this is pretty good.
Do you do what Kathy does and try to determine whether it's her own hair, and then you can proceed?
I'll take a quick look and, right. and know. If it, but my sister is the queen of finding hair in her food. I don't even like going out to eat with her.
Oh, really?
Because well, there's see, always a hair in her food.
But I think of people like that because your sister has longer hair. Like, it's... That's why I think to myself, it's probably yours. Like, just take a look at it before you freak out and decide you're not eating. Look at it. Because for me, the majority of the time, it is my hair.
Or just pull it back. You know, put your hair in a ponytail before you're about to eat, right? Would that not help with that?
I think it would.
Yeah.
But I remember also, she finds things other than hair. I remember one time we were in Hawaii, actually, and we're having a seafood meal. And I forgot, maybe it was a crab or forgot whatever. And there was a barnacle on.
Oh, barnacles.
There's a barnacle on. So she calls the server over and says, this is on here.
There's a barnacle.
And I'm like.
Well, that's a barnacle.
But I'm like, yes, Angie, it's a creature out of the ocean.
Yes.
And barnacles do end up on some of the, you know, it's okay. It's not going to.
Yeah.
Nope, she wanted a whole new thing.
Does the guy come over and go, why are you dating this crazy bitch?
Yeah, exactly.
My sister.
Well, yeah, it's when you end up with a piece of an eggshell in your eggs, I'm not going to freak out over that.
Right, that's going to... Listen, you'd prefer they don't, or a chicken bone, that you know, in something.
Or like crab cakes that has a little bit of the shell in it.
Yes.
Something like that I can deal... I'm trying to think of, like, what is the worst thing that I've powered through, and it's probably a hair.
What about mold on hard cheese?
No.
Cut around that and proceed?
No.
We know you have.
Yeah, me neither.
In fact, Nick will actually eat the mold, and if you see cheese on it, that's when you get sick.
Listen, maybe at a restaurant I wouldn't, but at home, I've got some and it's a, you know, it's a block of cheese and there's a little mold on part of it, I'll cut that off and eat the other part of it.
That's fine, right? I mean, it's not...
I think so.
What do you,
I thought I'd heard that.
What do you? It's not like you're playing with your life. I mean, you're eating bacteria to begin with.
I've heard that cheese, it's okay to do that, but bread is not okay to do that.
What about chicken?
If there's a spot of mold in a loaf of bread,
it's all over.
You got to throw the whole thing.
Even if you can't see it. Because
that's what I've been told.
Yeah, it's already growing. What you're seeing is just the visible portion of it.
Okay.
What about
it's like an iceberg.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry, kids, but that's different for cheese, so it's okay to cut around the mold and cheese?
That's what I thought.
This is what we tell ourselves because we really like cheese.
What about strawberries, though? When you get like a big package of strawberries and one of them has that little fuzzy stuff on it?
Oh, I'm not a fan of that.
I toss the whole thing out.
I don't.
Really?
Wow.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
Who are you?
Well, if the other strawberries look
strawberry
okay.
lover.
Like, sometimes I think that a strawberry just gets caught in the middle, and it's like the moisture that does it to it.
I don't know.
Are you telling me all the strawberries are bad?
I have to research it.
You'll have to use your same iceberg theory.
How about a little, you know, you get some grapes, and one or two of them are kind of mushy.
That's fine. Gross. That's fine. Some have just matured a little bit faster.
I won't eat those, but I will eat the more firm ones.
So what if you're eating grapes and then the grapes is like a half a pound of raw chicken?
That's gross.
I can cook the chicken and be okay, I think, after that.
Oh, how did this get in here?
Let me get some calls here. I'm going to go to Jordan. Hi, Jordan. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, boys. How you making out?
Great. What's up, buddy?
No, just overheard you guys talking about, you know, hair and food.
Yeah.
I got a great story on that one.
All right.
It was about 10 years ago with my ex-girlfriend, Brenda. This chick, Brenda.
I know Brenda. Yeah. She has a lot of hair.
Oh, my God, tons.
Yeah.
And we're at the King of Prussia Food Court, mind you.
Yeah.
And right prior to us, you know, getting lunch, I decided to get my hair cut. Okay. And so we sit down, you know, and I'm like, what do I want? You know, let me get a slice of pizza. You know what I mean?
May I ask you just quickly, Jordan, so did you give her this haircut in the King of Prussia Mall, or did you do it before you went there?
I got the haircut. Yeah,
he got a haircut at the mall. He was just with the girl.
Okay.
He was just with Brenda.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. Okay, thank you. All Kathy was our interpreter.
All right, go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah. So I order up a slice of pizza, right?
Yeah.
I'm my known business. I'm sitting down. I normally don't stare at my food when I'm eating. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I just kind of eat it and look down a couple times.
Yep.
So I took a bite, maybe two bites. I look down, and there's a couple hairs in here. I'm like, man, what the hell? So I go up to the counter, and I'm like, yo, guy. I'm like, you got hair in the food, man. And it's some Italian guy, is, you know, he's got the same color hair as mine. So, you know, I'm brightening it off as his hair already.
Okay.
All right. Judges, is that a great story?
He's still going. He's still going.
It's not over.
He's actually driven out of the broadcast area during this phone call.
Yeah. So what happened?
Yeah.
All right, Jordan. So...
So I stabbed him. I did that after the third time.
So how did it end?
So I'm into the second piece. I get halfway done the second piece, and I see hair again. So I walk up, and I'm you know, 19, 20, and I'm
that many years ago.
This was like, you know, 14 years ago.
All right.
So I lose it. I'm at the type of person I was then. I was very vocal. I wasn't afraid.
You were cutting hair. You were going to food courts. You were living the life.
Pizza like crazy.
Walking the walk and dropping the
dating Brenda.
Yeah.
So I lose it on this guy, right? I'm like, you know, this is a travesty. You can't, you know, you can't be serving food with hair in it. You know, I'm going to call the Department of Health. I want my money back. No. I'm going to give you another piece of pizza. And I'm like, I don't even know if I want another piece. So I get.
And what did Brenda think about all of this?
She was already dating someone else by this time.
She was. You know what? She was. Let's just say that.
I'm really not interested, Jordan. I just did that as a joke. Go ahead and continue. Wrap up your story.
No, I know. I was just going to say that the her air in her head was running a little low. We need to see an air compressor.
Okay.
So I get this third piece, and I sit back, and I'm inspecting it like, you know, Inspector Gadget minus the tools. And I see no hair. So I get done, like, half of it, and I look down, and there's hair in it. And I think, and then it dawned on me. I'm like, oh, my God, I just like, read this guy the Riot Act and got, like, three free pieces of pizza. Meanwhile, hair from my own head's falling down into the...
I actually thought that's where the story was going right off the bat.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
It was then that I realized it was time to change.
Yeah, well, now I mean, I know how...
I was going to marry Brenda, but I thought maybe I was going to maybe get into the haircutting thing. Didn't work out.
You know, it's funny, I used to iron her hair, so it probably would have worked out great.
Of course, she was always asleep and tied to the bed.
You ironed Brenda's hair?
Yeah, she used to make me lay down, put a towel down, and I would use an iron and actually straighten her hair with an iron.
Jordan, are you a better guy now, you think? Are you less volatile?
Say that again.
Never mind.
All right. Well, thanks for the call.
Yeah, no problem. Yes, if you want free pizza, just
put hair in your food.
Yeah, just put hair in your food. Thank you, Jordan.
Wow. All right, judges. He said that was a great story.
It was not.
Judges? Oh,
it was so a close. It was a it could have been about 14 minutes
shorter.
Do you remember? I enjoyed it, though.
Do you remember our friend?
I do like Jordan, though.
You remember our friend Joe Conklin used to have a character called Chick Snapper?
Yes.
That's who that was.
That's who that was. Oh, it's nice that he got through.
Thank you, Jordan. And, you know, he sounds like a good boyfriend, ironing his girlfriend's hair.
You
could
iron your hair. Shut up. I don't want you to do it. I mean, yeah, you could get it all flatted out. You look good. You look like a Supers models. Get it all flatted.
Should I
listen,
even go to...
let's shoot the works. I'm taking you to the food court tonight. We'll get some chicken and get some pizza.
Should I try another call and see what we get?
No. Oof.
Okay.
No, but go ahead.
All right, I'm going to go to Hunter.
Hunter!
Hey, Hunter.
Yeah, so here's your story. So I'm a hunter, you see? No, go ahead.
What's up, Hunter?
So I was at a country club once, and I got a burger. And as I was eating it, the boy who just talked, I don't look at my food too much, but I look down and I look at the lettuce and I see like a grub or a larvae across it.
Yeah. Oh my God. That would draw the line for me right there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And, so I was like, all right, it's not a maggot. It's like, there's only one.
All right. So your reasoning, you're saying, okay, so it's not a maggot and it's only one.
Yeah. So I'll champion through it. So I took it off and, I took a couple another bites. I looked down. There's like three more.
No.
So I put it down. I asked the waiter. I was like, hey, you know, there's some stuff on my burger. He comes over. He's like, oh, we can just pull the lettuce out. It'll be fine.
Oh,
no.
Like, no, that's okay. Can I get something else? So I ordered like barbecue ribs or whatever. And turns out they charged me for everything and didn't take anything off my bill.
Whoa. No.
That's just ludicrous. What the proper reaction is, oh, my God, I'm so sorry, sir.
Yeah.
The meal's on us.
Right.
Yeah, so I haven't been back since because of that. And
yeah.
Not even for Grub Fridays?
That was at a country club?
It was a country club, yeah.
That's crazy. All right. Thanks.
Yeah, it's not really good.
Nick, that's when Brooks asked him if he was going to eat that.
Are you going to eat that?
You're going to eat that? Let me go. Let's stick with maggots for a little while. I'll go to Ed. Hey, Ed, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello.
Hey, you're on the air, Ed.
All right. It's another maggot story.
let's hear it.
The single serving boxes of raisins.
Yes.
You just open them up, tilt them in your back of your mouth.
Oh, no.
Then you look down because some of them are still stuck in the box. You're about to reach in and loosen them up, and you see a handful of maggots swarming around.
Oh, my God.
First mouthful, did it or did it not have maggots?
Yeah, well, did you see it in the puke that came up after you saw that?
Oh, dear God. Yes.
I threw the box out and have not eaten raisins out of a box since.
I don't blame you.
No, that is a scarring moment.
Yep.
That's. I will look at something quickly before I eat it, at least to see that there's an absence of maggots.
Right.
Jesus.
Have you ever eaten anything that you thought was something else and then realized that, that's not that. I've told you guys this story before. I was at a restaurant at King of Prussia and somebody had ordered edamame and somebody had also ordered sushi.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And this particular restaurant would serve its wasabi with the sushi rolled into a little ball. Little green ball. Looks like a little edamame.
Uh-huh.
I picked up a whole thing of wasabi and popped it in my mouth.
Yeah. Why would they do that?
And I bit down on it, and oh, my God, I spit it out immediately. Not the same thing, because it's edible and all that. But still. But it was, you know, thinking one thing was... I was going to be eating it and turn out to be another.
I told you guys the story about when I went to Vegas with Pierre one time and he ordered the omelet and he got chorizo in it and Pierre's a vegetarian and he didn't know the chorizo was Mexican sausage and he ate the whole thing. We were starving, you know, we were doing a live broadcast out
there.
Damn,
that was good.
Well,
what kind of vegetable is chorizo?
And I felt terrible for him because he asked him, Nick, do you know what chorizo is? And I was like, yeah, it's, and I just, you know, he didn't put two and two together. And
yeah.
He puked all that right back up, man.
Did he really?
Yeah,
he threw it up?
He went into the bathroom because, I mean, you know, for a vegetarian who hadn't eaten meat in 30 years or whatever it was made him
jarring.
Throw up. Yeah, it was jarring.
Wow. There's a lot
this
of...
This is awful.
There's a lot of fingernail stuff on here.
Yeah,
a fingernail would kill it for me. Whereas a hair isn't necessarily a killer.
I'm going to go to Frank. Hi, Frank. Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
I'm in the mall getting my hair cut.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Nice.
Wrong story. Wrong story. Okay. I was in this fried chicken restaurant, little thing, and who cares? Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Thank you. Thank you for shearing off the non-necessary part of the story. Yes. Now, Jordan didn't know how to do that. We still love Jordan, but Jordan, if you're listening, listen to how this gentleman's going to tell his story. Go ahead.
So, eating a basket of chicken, I bite into this piece. I'm like, wow, this piece is pretty tough to bite.
Yeah.
You know, reach into my mouth, pull out. It's a fingernail, like a fake fingernail. It's a huge chunk of one.
Not only that,
but I look into the basket of chicken. There's the other half. I swear to God, this thing had to have been like 3 inches of a fingernail.
Just out of curiosity, did it have nail polish on it?
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like one that probably popped off of somebody preparing
the food. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, I look behind the counter and there's the girl with huge fingernails. And I'm like,
What did you do?
I don't think we need to call Shaggy and Scooby-Doo on this one.
You're right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure. So I walk up to the girl and I'm like, hey, ma'am, I think I found your fingernail. And she goes, that's probably yours.
Are you
That's
serious?
Probably yours.
She tried to pawn it off on you.
Listen, I'm a pretty skinny white guy, and this is a pretty hood but very delicious chicken restaurant. So anyway, you're probably right.
Wow, that's a bold move to say it's your fingernail.
Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it.
Yeah, Jesus.
You know, there was one time when just someone, and like I said, I'll eat, you know, if I found a hair or something, it won't ruin my appetite. But there was one time I went to this, I was really hungover. I wanted a sandwich. I wanted to get this hoagie, and I went to this shop that makes them. And, but the person making it looked so
gross,
that it actually ruined my appetite.
Yeah.
They had like, black fingernail polish on that was like chipped all over the place.
Oh, that's,
and just,
I don't like that.
Just this
sweaty.
They looked
grimy,
really unsanitary. And I got the sandwich and it was, you know, I've had it before. It was really good. And I got back to where I was going to, and I didn't even eat half of it. I kept thinking about the person's hands being in my food. Which you guys know me. That type of thing doesn't bother me at all.
Listen, you assume, and it's almost a don't ask, don't tell, you know? If that person was enough of that to make you second guess what you were eating, they had to be pretty disheveled.
Yeah. Let me go to Mandy next. Hi, Mandy. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, guys. You're up.
Thank you, Mandy. What's up?
I went to a local restaurant in the Glen Mills area. Won't name any names, but I'm eating with my friends, eating a salad, look down. I'm like, I don't know what that is. We take it out of the salad. We look a little closer, and we're like, oh, it's a dead bug. That's gross. And we kind of start laughing about it. But then in the next second, it shoots its leg up in the air. It was alive.
Holy God.
Oh, my God.
What kind of bug, do you know? What kind of bug?
Like a beetle kind of bug.
I bet it was a stink bug.
Yeah, it could have been a stink bug. Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
It was pretty gross. Called over the waiter. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, it's okay. And I'm thinking he's going to say, like, do you want another salad? Do you want me to take, you know, I won't charge you for it. Didn't say anything. Just kind of let it go. So we all just had a good laugh and
kept it. Isn't anybody being trained?
Right. So if you're in the food service industry, I would say this. You own a restaurant. If someone has an issue, now listen, there are people who try to get away with stuff.
Sure.
But if you're seeing someone there and they have a legitimate living bug on the table there, you offer them a free meal and you do everything you can to make them feel comfortable. You take care of the meal, and that's just standard protocol, right? You don't just say, hey, how about that?
Right, that's what I thought, but not what happened. So, anyway, we have a good laugh about it now, but needless to say, I did not eat the rest of the salad.
That would have been a meal killer for me.
Thanks, Mandy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, generally, you at least get the offer of taking that offer.
Of course.
Replacing it for
you. My stomach's turning just thinking of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys ever have somebody take a bite out of your food from the restaurant that you ordered it from?
No.
Yeah.
Matt
Court was telling. He got an Arby's roast beef sandwich the other day. He opened it up and had a full bite out of it.
No, it's a video that Kathy put on Instagram.
What is it?
Something that I put on Instagram. It was a video I put. You can go to my Instagram account.
Oh, okay.
It.
There you go.
It was a joke they were playing on Matt. Let me go to, let's keep the brand names out of this, by the way. I'm going to go to
it's
Andrew.
Probably good, yeah.
Hi, Andrew. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Yo, buddy. What's your story?
Hey, so, one time me and my buddy went to this one restaurant, and we both had our burgers, and mine was fine, but he takes a bite of his, and he gives me this, like, weird look, and then he pulls the top of the bun off, uh-huh. and there's a giant wad of hair.
A wad of hair?
Oh, my God.
Like,
God.
Not just like a strand, like a wad of hair.
Yeah. Like a Vizor?
Yeah, I look over to people making the food.
Oh,
this
Jesus.
It has no hairnet on. It has no gloves on making the food.
Oh. Oh, I hate that. So I was... I love when I go into a place and you see even the dudes with the beards wearing those
mm-hmm.
That to me, that... because one hair maybe, but a wad of hair? No. Yeah,
Andrew, like, did you bring it up to him?
He did that, like, puking, like, thing, like he's about to throw up. I was like, oh, no, this isn't good.
Did they replace it for you? Did they give you your money back?
Yeah, he walked up. He didn't even say anything. He walked up with the bun off, and he showed it to the cash register, and the cash register was like, oh, my God.
Yep.
Yeah. No, that's immediate. You just, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. That reminds me of the scene in Trading Places where Dan Aykroyd is trying to eat the salmon through his his Santa Claus beard.
Yeah. And it's getting caught.
It's just disgusting. It just makes me gag a little bit. All right. Well, anyhow, Tyson Panko chicken nuggets.
Yeah.
If you have any of those, you might want to look in there for blue rubber because they're recalling 37,000 pounds of that. Because they feel that some has found its way in the production.
Do they market a line of chicken nuggets made out of rubber chickens?
I don't know. Because there are rubber chickens.
Yeah.
You're right about that.
I wonder if that's possibly another product line that they have and they crossed.
This may be a campaign.
You know, like when a Ruffled potato chip ends up in a bag of regular potato chips.
Right, exactly. All right, listen, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to remind you that we have a secret text word. And it's your chance to win some tickets to see Villanova play this weekend, playing Georgetown at the Wells Fargo Center. So text word secret to 39333 in a little while. We'll see if you can win. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic from 93.3 WMMR and Captain Morgan Original Spice Rum is Friday, March 1st at Jack Frost Mountain, where the snow comes first.
It's the best lift ticket deal all year and a spectacle on snow.
MMR ups our game in the prize department, including a $2,000 cash prize for overall best design, $1,000 for the coolest Captain Morgan theme. Sprint has a quick $500 for the fastest sled and a booby prize for the new category, Preston and Steve's Favorite Fail. Mandatory sled registration through February 24th. Available at WMMR.com. Preston and Steve's Cardboard Classic 2019 at Jack Frost Mountain.
Presented by Captain Morgan Original Spiced Rum. Live like a captain. Join the crew. And sponsored by Sprint and J.P. Mascaro and Sons.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Have some stories, the Bizarre File, and here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
Sponsored by Jack Frost and Big Boulder Ski Areas. There's something for all of the snow lovers in your family at Jack Frost and Big Boulder. Skiing, snowboarding, or snow tubing. You can go to jfbb.com and save up to 50% on lift tickets. JFBB, where the snow comes first. A video of a man's mistress showing up at his wedding day in a full bridal gown has gone viral on Twitter.
Well, that's going to cause a problem.
The incident appears to have taken place somewhere in South Africa, where a man in a tux can be desperately seen trying to calm down a woman in a wedding dress, while the woman who appears to be set to marry looks on bemused.
That's cool.
Chaotic scene is soundtracked by guests who are either screaming or shouting, with others taking pictures or recording on their phones.
How amusing. Your tramp showed up.
It's unclear where and when the video actually was filmed and what happened next, but the mistress appears to be trying to tell the bride that the man she's about to marry, what he is really like.
Uh-huh.
And at one point, a bridesmaid in a bright pink dress does try to separate the mistress from the groom, but is unsuccessful in her attempt. So I don't know. I don't know how it ended, but apparently it was an awkward moment at this particular
wedding. My guess is they all became fast friends.
Maybe that happened.
Yeah.
Let's hold out for the best.
Yeah, let's go to the Poconos.
In this video, all the guests are there and everything.
Yep. A Florida man yesterday smashed his wife in the face with a Taco Bell burrito, and it caused some of it to go into her nose, according to police who arrested the suspect on a domestic battery charge.
In some cultures, isn't that a sign of engagement?
It might be.
Yeah.
Maybe this guy's just misunderstood. Victor Fosser got into a confrontation Sunday with his wife inside their home. The 49-year-old victim was upset about a family matter and attempted to seek comfort from her husband.
Uh-huh.
Instead, Fosser went to Taco Bell and picked up lunch. Upon returning to the residence with his takeout order, cops say Fosser attempted to give his wife a burrito, holding it in front of her face, but he was making fun of her for being upset. The woman grabbed the burrito and threw it to the floor. He then picked up the burrito and smashed it in her face, causing some of it to go up her nose.
Is it wrong that all I'm thinking about is how I'd really like some Taco Bell right now?
By the way, he's 6 feet tall, 335 pounds. He's a big dude.
Or the fact that this was written into the police report.
Yeah. He is currently being held in the county jail on a misdemeanor battery count, by the way.
All right.
An enormous drawing of a penis has appeared on the playing field at a Scottish school. Big enough to be seen from space.
Wow.
Yeah. Mackey Academy's massive penis was spotted recently in a satellite image on Google Maps.
That's one freaking big penis.
The picture shows the faint but unmistakable outline of a 60-foot phallus on the playing field just
is it
yards
good?
Yeah. from the nearest building at the school.
There are easily discernible testicles past them.
It appears that the image was created by wearing away the grass to reveal the earth beneath. It's not clear when the satellite image was captured. A former student who asked not to be named said that he was not surprised by the prank but admitted that it was quite impressive. He said they love causing a bit of mischief, anything to subvert the authority of the place. And I'm sure there's lots of penises drawn in lots of places around the school, he says. By the way, have you guys seen this phenomenon recently? And I forgot what they're nicknaming them. They might be like penis runners or something like that. And they are joggers who will use a GPS that shows the course that they run.
Yeah.
And there is a group of people who just go around and they figure out in advance how they can draw a penis with that GPS, and they go and they do it. We've seen planes do it. Well, apparently joggers do it all the time.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah, and then cyclists. And then they post it on the line. Yeah, cyclists could do it. Anybody who's out on the road doing that type of thing.
Take a crack at that one time.
We should. Deputy in Kentucky responding to reports of someone throwing rocks at semi-trucks driving on a road was injured in a rollover crash Sunday morning when a large rock smashed through his windshield.
It's deadly dangerous.
Yeah, the deputy was traveling in the morning when a rock was hurled from a car driving in the opposite direction. The rock struck the deputy in the face. It actually went through the windshield, hit him in the face, caused him to lose control of his squad car. It struck several trees before turning over multiple times. A photo posted by the sheriff's department shows the deputy's wrecked SUV on its side with the extensive damage to the rear and front of the vehicle. The deputy, identified as Philip Dean, was injured in the crash but is expected to make a full recovery. He initially thought he got shot when he was hit in the face with the rock.
Yeah, sure.
And authorities actually recently just caught, in this story it said that they were still looking for him, but apparently they caught the people who did it. I don't know too much about him, but they did get the people who did it. People have been known to drink cough syrup to get drunk, but did you know that vanilla extract contains a significant amount of alcohol as well?
Isn't that wild?
Police in Connecticut say they found 50-year-old Stephanie Warner Grise sitting in a car at an intersection with her eyes closed Wednesday evening.
Vanilla.
And officers say all she could say was
vanilla.
Officers say they discovered several bottles of pure vanilla extract inside her vehicle. And her breath smelled of
vanilla.
Uh-huh. She was arrested after failing sobriety tests.
I think I learned that fact on Family Ties.
Yes, you did. Yes. Tom Hanks.
Yes, was an alcoholic.
Yes.
And he would drink vanilla extract because it was the only thing that he could find in the house that had booze.
He was Mr. Keating's brother.
That's right.
And he was effing up. He was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And he couldn't find any booze. And he's like, well, let's see what we can find. Ooh, there's some vanilla here. Mm-hmm. And he starts to, I didn't know it until that either, Nick.
There we go.
That's right.
Pop culture is educational.
Vanilla and Aquavelva, I know, are our two go-tos in the
Well, this says community. Vanilla extract is 70 proof. It's a bit less than vodka or rum.
Okay. All right.
But, you know, obviously it usually comes in those little small bottles.
You know, when you're a kid and you see that in the cabinet, you know, this is going to taste great. It's like when you see baking chocolate.
Right.
And you think, oh, this is going to be really good. No,
it's
super concentrated.
It's a bit powerful. And I tell you what, we'll just wrap up the Bizarre File right there, my friends, and take a break. And we will come back in a moment. Listen, Yeah, we should do this now. Kathy, secret text caller. We need a number. What's it going to be?
17.
Caller 17 at 215-263-WMMR. You need to know the secret text word in order to win tickets. Villanova, Georgetown, Sunday, Wells Fargo Center. We'll grab a random texter and reveal who that is when we turn as well. We'll be back in just a moment.
Become an MMR VIP. Get early access to concert pre-sales, special deals, and VIP-only contests. You'll get our newsletter about twice a month, most of which you'll find worthwhile. Sign up now at WMMR.com.
We were looking for caller number 17, I believe, and that is for the secret text word. So we're going to go find that person, and it's Mike, everybody. Hi, Mike.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks.
All right, so Mike, do you know the secret text word?
Yes, I do. Champions.
As in we are.
Yeah,
there you go, man. Champions is correct, and since you got it right, hang on the line. We're going to get your information. We are going to give you a pair of tickets to see Villanova battle Georgetown this Sunday at the Wells Fargo Center. Tickets at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com, by the way. And we had a random texter that we chose as well, and that is Mike Holst, who is from Southampton. So congratulations, Mike. We will give you those tickets to see Villanova play Georgetown Sunday, Wells Fargo Center. Like I said, tickets can be purchased at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. So congratulations to you.
I went to the Nova game on this past Sunday at the Wells Fargo Center, and they play, I guess, the majority of their games at the Pavilion this year. But they do an awesome job with the presentation at the Wells Fargo Center and obviously can pack in a lot more people. And Nova, I think, has won 8 in a row. They've moved up to 14 in the rankings.
They're doing great.
They're doing really well. And this is a team that lost 4 players from last year that won the championship. So Jay Wright is just he's just doing it again, man. It's impressive.
That's cool. All right, we're going to do today's lesson question, and we are going to give away, what do we got here? 4-pack of tickets for the Philly Auto Show. Question I have for you, before punching sides of beef, what easier food punching bag did Rocky work out on? 215-263-WMMR. Before punching sides of beef, what easier food punching bag did Rocky work out on? 215-263-WMMR. If you know the answer, well, you should pick up the phone and call us right now. And we're going to do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And it's brought to you by Drexel University. Gain confidence in the online classroom with Drexel University's Test Drive from February 11th to the 15th. You'll experience what it's like to study online at Drexel. Sign up today at drexel.edu/test drive. What you got for us, Steve?
Well, rumors circulating that Caitlyn Jenner is seriously considering using Kim Kardashian's surrogate to have a child with her girlfriend. Caitlyn says it would be a wonderful way to ensure that Kim is in therapy for the rest of her life. Matthew Broderick and Sarah Jessica Parker reportedly leaving their digs in Manhattan for a permanent home in Donegal, Ireland. In fact, Matthew has been offered a position as a local theater director, while Sarah has accepted a job pulling a milk wagon. And finally, officials are investigating a drone that flew over the State Correctional Institute at Phoenix, which is currently housing inmate Bill Cosby. Apparently, the drone dropped a box of pudding pops with the sticks already pre-sharpened into shivs.
Oh, wow. And that's your Hollywood trash. All righty, we'll see if somebody's got an answer to this question before punching sides of beef. What easier food punching bag did Rocky work out on? And I'm going to go to Heather. Hi there, Heather.
Hi, how are you?
Good, Heather. So what easier punching bag did Rocky work out on?
Pudding,
yes.
Yeah.
That's correct, Heather. Hang on a second. We'll gather all your particulars, and we will give you 4-pack of tickets for the Philly Auto Show. And the Philly Auto Show is back February 2nd to the 10th. 700,000 square feet, 700 vehicles, 9 days, all under one roof. There's nothing like it. Visit PhillyAutoShow.com for details. Let's dive into the music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! And it's brought to you by Pennsylvania Ear Institute at Salus University, offering quality care for your hearing and balance needs. Their expert audiologists are going to help you hear your best. Information is available at salusuhealth.com/PEI. Ozzy Osbourne, I had mentioned that he was...
his eyes fell out.
No, I was mentioning that he postponed a couple of gigs. Yeah, he did pop a blood vessel in his eye from coughing so hard because he was sick, but he has postponed the entire European leg of his No More Tours 2 run.
Wow, so it's a bit more serious?
Yeah. So he's been diagnosed with a severe upper respiratory infection, which his doctor feels could develop into pneumonia, given the physicality of the live performances and an extensive travel schedule throughout Europe and their harsh winter conditions. Ozzy said in a statement, "I am completely devastated for having to postpone the European leg of my tour. It just seems that since October, everything I touch has turned to S. First, the staph infection in my thumb, and now coming down with the flu and bronchitis. Said I want to apologize to all my fans who've been so loyal over the years, my band, my crew, and a Judas Priest for letting you all down. However, I promise a tour with Judas Priest will be completed. It's being rescheduled right now to start in September." So he's a little under the weather.
Maybe he should just scale it down and do coffee houses and stuff like that.
Maybe so. Do a little unplugged Ozzy.
Thank you for coming.
AC/DC frontman Brian Johnson has reportedly confirmed that he will appear on the band's upcoming studio album after having to drop off the tour for the group's last record, 2014's Rock or Bust.
Very glad to hear this.
Yeah, Johnson apparently broke the news earlier this week when he bumped into the American band Terrorizer at an airport near his home in Sarasota. The members of Terrorizer took to their Facebook page on Monday to recap the group's just completed European tour. After praising the other bands on the trek and thanking their road crew, they wrote, "We ran into Brian Johnson from AC/DC at the airport today after the flight home, and we asked him about the rumors of him being on the new AC/DC album, and he said yes, and that he's sick of denying it. So that was a cool surprise ending, to the tour." AC/DC has yet to reveal any details of a new studio recording. Online reports have also indicated that Angus will dedicate the new album to his late brother, Malcolm. Tool has rolled out some visual teasers as speculation about the arrival of the band's long-awaited new album heats up. The teasers featured new 3D visuals, but no music, with one available only to members of the Tool Army fan club and the other appearing on the homepage of the band's official website.
They had 3D visuals as part of their last album. Do you remember the actual CD case?
Yeah, it came with little spectacles and everything. Last weekend, Tool drummer Danny Carey indicated to fans at a convention that the quartet's first new LP in 13 years was arriving sometime in April. So we'll see if that's true or not. And then finally, Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons discussed the surviving former members of Kiss and spoke frankly about why their End of the Road World Tour features only the current lineup of the band. Kiss kicks off its
because they're completely disposable
tomorrow night. When asked why co-founders Ace Frehley and Peter Criss were not asked to reunite for Kiss's final global trek, Simmons didn't mince words, and he explained, saying,
"For the past 10 years, the role of Ace Frehley has been portrayed by a bear."
They said Ace and Peter have gotten 3 chances. They were in and out of the band, fired 3 times for drugs, alcohol, bad behavior, being unprofessional. They weren't carrying their loads,
and so they were tardy.
He said, "So the short answer to your question is, we'd love to have Ace and Peter join us here and there. And if they don't, it's not going to be because of us. But they're never going to be in Kiss again. 3 times is a charm. I promise I'll put it out." Or no, he says, "I promise I'll pull out" doesn't work. It's the boy who cried wolf.
It's a sexual reference.
Yes, that's what he's doing.
For us, it seemed like someone at a food court who keeps returning to a pizza counter complaining about hair and the food. After a while, it becomes old and no one wants to listen anymore.
Timely reference.
I don't care. People don't care if you're dating Brenda or not.
You had to have been listening about an hour ago.
Yep.
To understand the reference, but oh, my God.
Poor Brenda.
I wonder whatever happened to her. I wonder if they're still together.
She's in Kiss.
No.
She's now in Kiss. She's
playing the Ace Frehley role.
She plays Ace Frehley. He said, it's the boy who cried wolf. Oh, I've been straight for 1,000,000 years. Terrific. Have a good life. Would we welcome Ace or Peter to jump on stage for a song or two? Of course. Could we depend on either Ace or Peter to do a full set night after night? Not on your effing life, he says.
You know, they've kept it together. They've kept the machine going for as long as they have. And they have a point. And, you know, if you look at the history, those guys are great. And we talked to Ace Frehley, and it was a great interview. I think we talked a couple times, but, you know, they need consistency.
Here, Nick found a response from Ace, whose statement said, Gene, your memory is really incorrect. I was never fired from KISS. I quit twice, not three times, of my own free will because you and Paul are control freaks, untrustworthy, and were too difficult to work with.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
See you at the food court, loser.
By the way, I'm banging Brenda.
Brenda says hi.
Yeah.
And her mouth isn't full. Wink, wink.
Paul Stanley added, this is a celebration of the band and its accomplishments and its history. So anybody who was short-sighted enough to think this should be a reunion is missing the point. That being said, I would love to see everybody at one point or another be on stage. And if that doesn't happen, it's their choice, not mine.
I think, you know, so they're not going to tour. They're going to continue to play shows. They're just not going to tour.
Right.
It's not like they're wrapping the band up. And that lends itself to the possibility of a situation where they would all get up on stage.
Yeah.
I mean, they have history.
But he said they're invited to. They can come up and play one-offs here and there. They're just not a full-time member of the band.
You just won't be plugged in and your microphone won't be on.
That's all.
I mean, after he says those types of things about you, would you tour? Would you, if you're Ace Frehley, would you want to get up and play with these guys again?
I don't know. The Ace might need to make some money. I don't really know. And that is what I have in music news.
All right.
Thank you. All right, we should take a break. Come back in a second. Get ready to wrap things up. Letter of the Day, Word of the Week prize. We'll get you closer to winning that. We'll see what Pierre has in store for you. Oh, it'll be a hoot. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
As you make plans for Super Bowl weekend,
the Patriots again?
Don't forget to join us Saturday as 93.3 WMMR celebrates
Groundhog Day!
A tip of the midwinter musical cap to the furry little rodent in western PA and our homage to the beloved Bill Murray film.
I'm reliving the same day over and over.
Bing! Bing! I got you!
We promise, no Sonny and Cher. And we'll try not to repeat ourselves, but it is Groundhog Day on 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. But it is Groundhog Day on 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Wednesday morning edition. Wrapping it up at 10:30 a.m. Ample sunshine. Cooler temperatures on the way. Today's high only about 33 degrees. And it drops later on. Today should be around noon, 1 o'clock, something like that. It's really going to start. You're going to feel the difference.
So this squall stuff, is this... I'm looking at a beautifully sunny sky here. It doesn't look like there's a lot of squallitude.
Don't know when that's going to happen, but later on is what I understand. So
all right.
We'll see how that goes. And then temperatures drop, and then tomorrow our high is going to be around 17 degrees. It'll be sunny then, but it's a hard freeze, most definitely.
Squall's in the afternoon.
It is in the afternoon.
That's what it says.
And then we might have a mix of snow showers Friday, nothing crazy. And then Sunday we'll be up in the upper 40s, maybe even 50 degrees. So things taking a bit of a turn. So we get this little dip, and we'll just have to deal. It's all there is to it. But you know what? Right now it's time to get your Cardboard Classic merchandise. There's a flash sale at MMR's Rock Shop, and this will get you set, keep you toasty warm, have you look all fashionable, and show your Cardboard Classic and Preston and Steve and MMR colors.
I'm getting that freaking hoodie.
Yeah, you should.
It looks really good.
I like it. And the if you purchase by Thursday, February 7th at noon, you'll have it in time for the event. So keep that in mind. So
man, I look styling.
Get the hat, get the hoodie, all that stuff. Pierre Robert is here. How are you?
Good day. So tomorrow's our super cold day here, right?
Polar vortex.
Right, and that will be...
Polar vortex.
I like that.
Yeah.
In Chicago, I guess, is the epicenter of the cold. And what is it?
-50, -55 with wind chill. So cold, in fact, that they've had to start fires on the train tracks, adjacent to the train tracks, to keep them from freezing up. There's actually footage of...
I saw that.
Yeah. Did you see it? It looked like a dystopian future.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
High of -7 today. That's not wind chill.
That's the high.
That's
the high base temperature is -7.
Not wind chill.
Wind chill.
Low wind with... What's the low?
Like -23 or something
and
like
that's
that.
That's not with the wind chill.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. Amazing. And
layers.
In Australia, it's 115 degrees.
Yes,
and they're in the midst of a huge drought,
a heat wave and drought,
a heat wave and a horrible drought. Then on we go.
And on we go. Exactly.
What's the temperature going to be here tomorrow?
Like 116.
No, 17 is going to be the high.
17. We could do that.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, we have really dodged the bullet on this cold wave. It's just creeping to the north, you know, and all the way around. But we've pretty much crossed your fingers.
From your mouth to God's ears, they say. Because yesterday, I was saying to my wife, we're finishing off January. And we have a couple more months. And if you remember, we got bombarded towards the end. It was like the ass end of winter last year. But I would be fine if I said to Preston last night on the conference call, I'd be fine if we got by with none of that crap. And he goes, oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yes. But, we're kind of experiencing that weariness of winter right now. And
yes.
We're barely done with January. We've got February. And that could be anything, but March is when it gets long.
Yeah.
It really is. All right. You know, I really have had enough.
Enough.
And, yeah, you're right.
And that's, as you said, Steve, when you can get that last burst.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
That miserable burst.
That miserable burst.
All right. Should we get a letter from you?
I think so.
Right. Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
V, as in vivacious.
All right, that'll work. A V. All right, we have an RCA 55-inch 4K Ultra HD Smart TV and $50 pretzel, Philly Pretzel Factory gift card. You can order your big game party trays from Philly Pretzel Factory, and pretzels are twisted and baked fresh every day. Visit your local store or order online at PhillyPretzelFactory.com. We will give that away on Friday. Two more letters to go, and that is it. So what's in store for today?
I'll also have another $50 Philly Pretzel Factory gift card to give away. We've got two more opportunities for Go Fund Yourself, 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. We have cool workforce blocks, including a block of Disturbed, including a block of Collective Soul, who have a new record coming before too long, which is exciting, and a workforce block of Genesis for Fabulous Phil's 68th birthday today.
I was hoping you were going to do that.
Oh, well. Oh, but you hear your Foreigner block, by the way, on Friday?
I did, yeah.
You heard Star Rider.
I was at Acme, and I heard Star Rider. I had to kind of pull myself to the side so I could go and listen to it, but yes.
I played Star Rider for you.
Thanks, man.
I come through. And then later, we did Rush for the vinyl cut.
Now, that I missed. I'm sorry.
I can't remember what I played now, but it was damn good. I know that.
I saw all the albums you had out on Friday and laying out, so appreciate it, man.
That's what I do for you.
Thanks, dude.
Resbo.
All right. Let me thank our sponsors. President Steve Show is brought to you today by Winter Airport Parking, fastest way in and out of Philly International Airport. Also, Drexel University. Experience what it's like to study online at Drexel. And you can go to drexel.edu/test drive and Planet Fitness. Get the Planet Fitness Black Card, and you'll enjoy massage chairs, hydro massage, tanning, and more. Tomorrow in our studio, comedian Bruce will be here, and I want to do one last second giveaway before we leave. We have a screening tomorrow night of this film, Alita Battle Angel. Casey will be there. He's hosting it because there's a little pre-roll that's going to happen from the filmmakers, and also a post Q&A. Live from London that's going to be done.
It's an event.
It is at the UA Riverview IMAX Theater. So the Riverview IMAX, which is there on Columbus Boulevard, it's at 7 o'clock. You need to be there by 6:30, and we'll take 10 callers right now and give you passes to that screening. The call, 215-263-WMMR. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
That was weird. That guy obsessed with Kathy's voice. That's just really weird. But he forgot to mention her infectious, bubbly laugh. What the f***, dude?
Next message.
I love washing dishes. I'm not afraid to admit it, even though we have a state-of-the-art dishwasher that I can use at any time. It's relaxing. It's fun. I don't know. I must be insane. But I love washing dishes.
Next message.
1 to 3 f***ing inches. Get the f*** out of here.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
Back
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.